call the Tax Conference Committee to order Saturday, May 18th. Did anybody have Ludafus last night? No? Oh, God, gee, I wish I would have. Anyway. Well, back again.
Again.
You know, Madam Chair, when I was in school, I studied the dynamics of a small groups. It's really interesting stuff. The odd coalitions, you know. Look at the dynamics of how people get together in a small group and make decisions. Kind of come and go. And issues that are so disparate that get linked and tied together and finding compromises and common ground. Really fun stuff. This is just a perfect example of it here. So, anything you want to say this morning?
Mr. Chair, I'm looking. Can't remember. It's so nice you said that, because last night, during the midst of stress and chaos, I maybe shouldn't say, but I sent you a note saying we have to remember how lucky we are to be sitting in here.
It's right underneath my pile. I'm going to save it.
We really are. We are, the 10 of us.
Yeah. And you know, Madam Chair, I'm sure you're going to join me in thanking all the staff for their hard work. In case we get a little rushed at the end, it's really been a pleasure to work with you folks. It's under arrest. And Madam Chair, I hope we're down to the last couple hours of this fun. What do you think? A couple hours? Wrap it up? I think so, too. So I have a couple of issues I'd like to work on this morning. We have got to resolve the Sustainable Forestry Initiative. I've got integration aid on my list. We need to put some language in for the Red Wing provision that's in our 130. I think there's some... Oops, I need the mic. I think there's some discussion going on about whether the political contribution refund program that's in our 130 is appropriate, but we're willing to have discussions about that. I mean, we're open to all kinds of changes and modifications to make this thing close up in short order. So we'll see where that goes. We need to finish up my education language with regard to the referendum freeze. We need to make sure that we have the language that if a school district has been had a referendum fail last year, that they can run one, and that if they have done school board action prior to, I think the date is June 1st, that they can move forward this year. So we need to double check that language. So I hope somebody from staff is doing that. I do have one provision that I'd like to add to my 130 that I think is a relatively minor cost. And we have a provision in the Senate bill dealing with these 8 premium cigar shops. And so I think we're going to have a provision adopted there. We never have dealt with the motor vehicle rental tax. So you and I probably need to talk about that. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, on that, I will just say that was actually an error on our part when the House made the offer for the grand deal, because we knew that the governor and the House. Would you like my glasses?
Well, where did mine go? I had them in my hand.
Hmm.
Yeah, I got another. Anyway.
You know, I will say that we made an error on that when the House came forward with the big offer in the governor's office. We knew the governor had supported that and had it in his budget, and so did the Senate and so did the House. So we all did it. And it was an accident. So we realized that. Was it yesterday morning? And I think I talked to Senator Scoy about it briefly. And I thought it was a nice $15 million buffer. And my guess is the governor and the speaker and Senator Bach will all be fine using it. But I think we just need to ask them, because we had limited the revenue raisers in the deal. So,
and Madam Chair, to my point, can I make a point on that?
Yes.
I would think that should be the last motion we make. And then it could help cover the pension if there's an issue there. That was one of our priorities. And if there's some money left over, it'll just flow to the bottom line. Would that be okay with you, Madam Chair?
Yes. I mean, I think we should use it to solve problems.
Yes.
Not raise more revenue. If we find out we don't need to, that's good too. And I think we're all sensitive to not wanting to raise any more revenue.
Okay.
I think the commissioner wants to respond.
Commissioner France.
Mr. Chair and Madam Chair, I appreciate that discussion, Chair Lincheski. And I think we do need to double back, as you know more than I, when we get ready to close these things. There may be something else we need to have to cover. So maybe, as Chair Scott said, maybe at the end is something we'll need for something else, but outside of this bill even, perhaps. So,
Madam Chair.
And Commissioner, and again, Senator Scott, I want to apologize. That was a complete oversight on my part, and it kind of didn't make sense as to why I went to put it in there. So apologize for that.
No, and I think it's just something we need to deal with toward the end of the morning when we're finishing up. Okay, so I think I'm going to start with my conservation easement language. And so I would like to move, if I could read. What is the number on that?
Senator Scoy moves the 77-1. To the conservation property.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, I think we've had pretty good discussion. Oh, gee, great. Thank you. I think we've had pretty good discussion about this through the conference committee. But thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Your glasses. Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair, I just want to tell you that, what I do is I go to the dollar store.
I do.
And they literally are a dollar. And so about once every couple of years, I just go get 10. And I put them all over the place. So that's the way to deal with this when you get old. Just go to the dollar store and get a whole bunch of glasses for $1 a piece.
Mine are the high fashion Target models. So Senator Rest.
Oh, yeah. Why
is it then?
Yeah, we're not.
Suddenly, a conversation of eye problem breaks out in
Section 13.
Never look down, this eye takes over, and I look there, this eye.
It's really amazing.
And so, Madam Chair, I think my motion is going to be to adopt in Article 2, Section 13 of the Senate bill, and I believe that is as amended by the conference committee. And I think that we understand that this is an effort on my part to not shift the cost of these conservation easements onto the surrounding landowners. Any discussion, members?
Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair.
We're just getting information that House folks may not know exactly what we're doing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is there a little more detail?
On the...
Yes.
Oh, staff. So,
we're just trying to...
Who would I ask?
This one here. It's this valuation of property with conservation easements, right?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Mr. Michaels, did you want to add something?
No.
We're just trying to track it here.
Okay.
So. We just want to know what you're...
I have copies if anybody wants to read the language.
Is it this language?
Thanks.
Representative Anzo.
I'd just like to have a copy.
Yeah, we don't have copies either.
Oh. Well, it's in the bill.
Yeah, really.
Oh, it's the language.
It's in the language.
Oh, that's the language that's in the bill.
It's in the bill.
I got it.
It's no different.
No, well, there was an amendment. I just struck some of the language, but it's in the bill.
Oh, okay. But, Mr. Chairman, we
Senator
had... made a correction on the language in the bill, and amendment just shows the effects of that of that correction that was made in the bill.
Page 25 of the Senate bill. Any discussion, members?
Yes.
Representative Davney, are you okay?
I believe I am.
Any discussion, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments provision is adopted. Thank you, members. SFIA. You know, Madam Chair, we've kind of gone around and around about this. Mm-hmm. I think that this is important for the state. I think that forest fragmentation is an issue around the world. And so I'm going to move the SFIA language that we amended yesterday. I think we got the language ready to go yesterday. Does the staff know the language that we worked on?
Right.
I can't see behind me. Is everybody nodding?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Sylvia.
Yesterday we adopted the A98 and the A92 amendment dealing with the SFIA provisions.
And, Madam Chair, this is a cost, and so I will take this out of R-130. Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair, I woke up with a little bit of fog continuing on my allergies, but that storm was wonderful, at least in the metro. It was pouring.
Yes.
And for those of us sufferers, we know that big deluges drop the pollens into the soil, and so we're going to get some relief as a result of that. But, you know, I was thinking about all these unfinished things that people, again, I think conferees always have things they really care about. And to me, I think conferees put in the hours and things matter to them. And I was just thinking that maybe some of these items, I understand we have a lot of tails. And I think our staff can be very creative about making things work in tails if we have to. So that's another option. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, so we wouldn't have to raise any more revenue anywhere, but we do have a lot of tails left in this bill. And I think every single conferee, that at least on the House side, except maybe one, it has still is interested in some small things. And so I think we want to support things that the Senate needs, that if, you know, if they can get by leadership, I guess, is the bottom line. But so, you know, we're open to getting this done.
Sure, sure. So if everybody's, so, if, Mistress.
Where are we in the side-by-side?
It's on that sheet.
We're doing the SFI. I think it's on 28 and 27. We're doing that.
28 and 29.
And, Madam Chair, Mr. Sylvia brought up a mistake on the side-by-side. It says 46, and it should say 48. I don't have the...
Is it page 8?
Page 8.
Well, it's...
We're on page 8 of the side-by-side.
Page 8.
I tend to work with the language, so I have that, but not the side-by-side.
You're saying 8.
Oh, 8.
I heard 8 and 28. And 46.
And page 46?
Where's page 46?
Looks like page,
Looks like page 8.
Mr. Sylvia.
Page 8.
The correction, Mr. Chair, on page 8, Article 2, it says Section 46 SFIA re-enrollment. That should read Article 2, Section 48.
Representative Ann Zelk, I think a number of this forest land is up in your neck of the woods. Do you have any thoughts?
I think that this is an adequate solution considering how hard this has been, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair. Representative Davney.
I'm trying to understand. We don't have a lot of forests in Minneapolis. We have urban forests, yes, and we've got a very nice urban forest. If you've ever, Mr. Chair, climbed to the top of the Witch's Tower in southeast Minneapolis, it's on the highest point in the city, I believe.
Well,
yeah.
I have two that argue that they're both the highest point, so.
Okay. It's on what some consider to be the highest point in the city of Minneapolis, and you walk up this old water tower. And look out over the city. And the thing you are struck with is just how green Minneapolis is. I won't say anything about St. Paul because it's close to the border. But it's remarkable how green Minneapolis is. But we frown on logging it generally. Although there's a guy who started a business, actually a woman who started a business, called Wood from the Hood. And catchy.
I actually have a cutting board of theirs.
And what they do is when the park board, who manages the urban forest, has to cut down a tree for disease or whatever. This company goes out and gets the tree, and then they turn it into cutting boards, cribbage boards, anything, right down to including the zip code where that it came from. Yep. We're all about local source, sourcing, including our cutting boards and cribbage boards and things like that.
Well, I don't think Senator our gift ban.
Representative Norton.
I don't think our gift ban prohibits gifts from our Minneapolis friends. And I would love a cribbage board.
Yeah. I'll duly noted, Representative Norton.
Senator Dietzick.
Thank you. And they did on the Northeast Library when that was remodeled, and we had to remove a tree that had been struck by lightning, and so it was going to die. They made tables, end tables, and coffee tables for in the library. So the tree that was taken down is coffee tables in the library now.
Now, very cool. The Representative Dabney.
Thank you. Now, this same company also runs, what do they call it? Beerwood Derbies. You know the Pinewood Derby for Cub Scouts?
Oh, I do.
This uses the same sort of car with a full 12-ounce bottle of beer strapped to it. And it's only for the fathers.
I was wondering. I was hoping that wasn't the...
Yeah. They do a Winewood Derby for the women. Bottle of white wine, and you're going. Anyways.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you. Good. We'll try to get on tech here. I know several months ago the state reached an agreement with Molpus, I think $6 million, to ensure that those lands remained open. And yet, I'm getting all these emails saying, save the Molpus lands. And I'm wondering how all of this interacts. And I'm wondering if you or perhaps Representative Anzelk or someone else can help me understand that.
Well, I think I don't exactly know about the payment that Molpus received. I do know that they have a large land holdings in northern Minnesota. And they have long-standing conservation easements on those lands. And they also have historically had those enrolled in SFIA. And we are offering them the opportunity to re-enroll. But because those conservation easements are already in place, the conservation easement language that we just adopted does not apply to them. And so they would be able to enroll. Those parcels are large. And, you know, as I've said, I think it would be a mistake to not keep them under covenant, because what's going to happen, in my opinion, is we're going to end up with a number of 1,000-acre private hunting preserves in those lands, and that's what will happen. And, you know, not for the folks who live where I live, because I've got areas that I hunt on, but for people who live in a more densely populated area where they have to rely on public lands and other lands for areas to recreate, birding, hunting, snowmobiling, ATVing, go down the list, these are the lands that they're using. And if you start fragmenting them into private lots, and these are pretty nice forested, rolly, with lakes and slough lands. They're not just desert. And they would be very popular for people to start buying little hunting areas and putting up their hunting cap on. So I think for the public, we're wise to keep access and not fragment it up. What do you think, Representative Anzelk? Am I on track?
Well, Senator Scoy, that's a very accurate overview of the Molpus situation. Molpus is a land management company headquartered in Mississippi. Their connectedness is with Boise Paper in International Falls. And the only other comment that I would make is when we're struggling with competing values, competing public interests. One of the interests that goes kind of off to the side is the impact on local units of government and their ability to raise revenue off property taxes. And there are implications for all of this in terms of valuations of property, levies, and you've heard me say, and others of us in our delegation say many, many times, in northeastern Minnesota, we've got property wealth problems. We don't have taxable property wealth. Consequently, property taxes don't work for us. And so I just want to get that out on the table. But I do support where you're heading, Mr. Chair.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Representative Dabney,
let me just ask the question clearly. If the Mulpis lands re-enroll in SFIA, are we paying them twice for me to be able to go hunting on them once? They already got $6.1 million, is it? That's coming out of memory. Just a few months ago, I assume that there was some covenant. In fact, my understanding is that was to purchase public access to their land. And if they enroll in SFIA, are we paying them again to assure public access to their lands? And if so, why do we pay them twice?
Representative Anzo.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Dabney. I wouldn't characterize this as paying somebody twice. I would say 1 + 1 = 2, and we got a deal. And I mentioned the competing public interests here. One of the competing public interests is public access. Motorized trails, hunting, fishing access, berry picking, mushroom hunting. And we are concerned that historical access to those lands will be denied to the people. And that's why I'm trying to describe this as a situation of competing interests.
Well, Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anzo, we already paid them for that access. We paid them $6.1 million, is my understanding, for that access. So if I go out and buy dinner for the family and I give them my credit card at the end of the meal and sign the receipt, I've paid for that meal. They don't charge me a second time to have the same meal. I already paid for it once. And if we just gave Mulpis $6.1 million to assure public access to their lands, I'm not understanding why we should pay them more money to get access, public access to their lands. We already paid for that.
Well, Representative Dabney,
what am I not understanding?
I think that there's a lot more parcels and a lot more involved than just the $6 million would have been involved. It's landholdings all across the northern part of the state. If you recall the Blandon Paper Company, that was 30-whatever million dollars. And so that is not included in this, by the by.
Thank you.
But I think that, and I don't know what the MOPUS provision was that was done that you're referring to, but I do know that a number of the provisions that they have, parcels that they have easements on, have been in place in a long time, and they didn't receive much money for those. So I'm trying to figure out that middle road so that the long-standing conservation easements can enroll, but the more recent ones cannot. Now, if there's going to be a line that I'm missing with regard to something that happened within the past month or two or last year, I might have missed something there. But basically, after today now, we won't be having this discussion because they will be in SFIA and get their conservation, but they won't get their values reduced. And I think it'll be a much cleaner, more understandable, more transparent process for the public to understand, as opposed to this conservation, that thing, and this value reduction and all that going on. And it's so I just think that we've made some progress, you know. And the other thing is if this isn't all perfect this year, we'll be sitting here next year. We can take another run at it. But I think we really made good progress on cleaning up some of this language. Anything else on SFIA? Any other discussion? Okay, thank you. All those in favor on the SFIA language as amended yesterday, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. I just have some. What's this? It's a red wing. Sometimes that's not what I want to scratch out.
was from Mr. O'Rourke.
Yeah, I know. The only one. Well, is Senator Rest still in the room?
She just stepped out.
Okay, I see what's going on. Thank you. Madam Chair? Sure. Madam Chair.
Do we know? Okay, so, you know, at the end of as we start to wrap up here, you know, we all start getting the requests that are coming from everywhere else. Do we know if we're the last bill that's going to close? Do we know what bills are open? K-12 is open. What's open?
Environment, I think, is in the process of closing.
Okay.
But Senator Bach has asked me if we could be the last bill to close. He thinks it's important to have the tax bill out there just in case. And so he's kind of indicated that we should get our work done.
Okay.
But then we'll just have to kind of let staff put this together, and we'll wait and see till everybody else is all closed up.
Okay, I think we're going to start seeing things now that really aren't things that we were working on here and that we don't know a lot about. And the House conference, you know, we just want to always make sure that Speaker Thiessen is on board with what's happening in this room. So I know we're both starting to get these little things come forward. And so just so that if we have to do recesses to check on some of them.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Madam Chair, I have one provision that I'm going to bring forward as a request within our 130 that hasn't been previously discussed at length in the conference committee. But other than that, everything that I'm proposing has had conversation in the conference committee prior to today. And I think that's as it should be. I don't want to see a whole bunch of stuff coming forward here at the last minute trying to squeeze in here or there. But I do have one issue like that, let's try to keep it to a minimum. Okay, yeah, if you've got a few, but not 20. And Madam Chair, so I passed out the A-115 amendment, now that I know what it is. This is language that gets what's on the R spreadsheet in order with what is actually on the spreadsheet. We're making the proposed change to the occupation tax of Senator Tomassoni's provision that we've carried. It's been on our sheet. It's that permitting thing that you wanted. Remember Senator or Representative Ann Zelk tried to move it yesterday? Well, you know, I thought about that for a while. I thought it was a real good idea, actually. Representative Anzo.
Mr. Chair, I think that's the Tomassoni provision,
yes,
which creates a special account to expedite mining related permitting. And he takes, he originally was taking a nickel off the existing occupation tax, and the last variation of it, it was cut in half to 2.5.
Okay. Yes, and it looks to me like it's not exactly, I mean, it's 0.0045 and 0.00225. Does that sound right, Representative?
Yes, it does.
And then we have language here for the city of Red Wing that we are carrying on our spreadsheet, and then also the increase in township aid on the A-115 amendment.
I told him.
Does everybody understand what's in the A-115, Madam Chair? Any discussion? Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, you also need to pick up to make the Monoman language effective. You're paying for it, but you didn't actually adopt the language, so you need to adopt House Article 1, Section 11, Paragraph B. It's on page 10 of the side-by-side.
House Article 1.
I'm sorry, Senate Article 1, Senate. Section 11, Paragraph B.
Paragraph B.
Yes, Emily just wants to go.
Oh, that's a question. Okay, okay. So I would incorporate
page 10 of the side by side.
Madam Chair.
Chris is coming.
I don't work off the side by side. I always work on language, so I don't.
You wanted a page.
This will help you. If you need to, but if you want to page the numbers,
the side by side for me.
Mr. Sylvia, could you help Representative Dabney by telling him the side by side page?
Ten.
And actually, I misspoke. The line one or line three on page one is actually the township formula that we're adjusting. Representative Davin.
I'm sure Manoman is a lovely lovely town.
Yeah.
Why does it get the special shout out here?
Well, it's Representative Davin, it's actually more than a lovely town. It's a lovely county with a city of Manoman in it.
Thank you.
And this county is wholly within the White Earth Indian Reservation. And their taxable base is pretty low, and their tax rate is pretty high. And the Shooting Star Casino went from fee land to trust land. And it also happens to be in my legislative district. So I care a lot about it. And so I'm trying to help these folks. Representative, Madam Chair.
Senator Skoy, I know I understand that on an income base, Manoman is one of the lowest income parts of the state. And so I think we're sensitive to that. And I know Senator Coonan and Representative Marquardt and others have made us aware of that over the years. And I know Representative Dabney is supportive as well. And just, I understand.
Thank you very much. So A115 amendment. Anything else? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Madam.
Sylvia needs here.
Mr. Sylvia needs here.
I think you wanted to say something.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to note also that the Article 1, Section 26 of the Senate bill is the general fund appropriation for Manoman. And we haven't addressed that yet, but if we wanted to take that provision along with.
I'm disorganized this morning.
I can give you the citation.
Mr. Sylvia, could you give me the citation so I could move that and tell us what it is?
Mr. Chair, it's Senate Article 1, Section 26. It's the Manoman County General Fund Appropriation, and it's found on page 13 of the side-by-side.
Okay.
Page 13 of the side-by-side.
There it is.
And, and so, Mr. Sylvia, what's my motion?
Mr. Chair, it would be to adopt Senate Article 1, Section 26.
I'll move that.
Madam Chair moves that, and do we know what we're doing? What is that provision again, Mr. Sylvia?
Mr. Chair, this is the increases the annual aid appropriations out of the general fund to Manoman County. Currently, they get so much money for the county, the city, and the school district, and this would double the general fund aid appropriations to the taxing jurisdictions within the county.
Thank you for moving that, Madam Chair. Questions, members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. And, Madam Chair, thank you for letting us work through this language that we're working on this morning. This is to reflect the spreadsheet that was presented yesterday, and now I now have the amendment dealing with the Senator Tomasoni provision with regard to some additional funds going to DNR and PCA to help them with their permitting up in the northeast part of the state. And originally we carried 5 cents. We're reducing that to 2.5 cents. And Representative Ann Zelk has described it and is supportive. So. Any discussion, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Madam Chair, I have one other small little provision that I would think I'd like to have some discussion about. I think we talked about this earlier. There's 8 premium cigar shops left in the state of Minnesota. And in the Senate provision, we had a cap on the tax that for those premium cigars to see if we could keep these eight shops in business. And, you know, it's not a huge deal, but it's important for those small businesses, and they've made a pretty strong case, and we'd like to move the Senate position with regard to those cigars. It does carry a small cost, which we would deal with in our 130. Yes, it's relatively minor. I think it's $200,000. Representative Benson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I've had, you know, discussion with folks who are concerned about this. I'm just wondering how much can this cap help, considering, you know, how people go into a cigar store like this, find what they want, and then go online and buy the darn thing. Is this going to make a material difference, you think, for the owners of these stores? Because I'm sympathetic, and I wish we could. I wish the Federals would, you know, move on this issue. I noticed the Senate has, but who knows if anything is ever going to happen in the House of Representatives.
And, you know, Representative Benson, you make a real good point, and I don't know what the ultimate outcome is going to be. I mean, you can see the trend line is headed the wrong way for these guys. And so they requested this. They thought it would make a difference to them. And so we thought we'd just a relatively small effort. And like I said, it's only eight businesses now. Hard to think that the Tax Conference Committee on the last day of the committee is talking about an impact of eight businesses, but it's important, so we're going to address that. And does somebody on the Senate staff have the motion for the for me here? I don't have it written down in front of me.
Mr. Chair, I think we'd just be adopting the Senate position on premium cigars, and that would be including the definition. The Senate definition on premium cigars, as well as the capped tax rate.
Yeah, I'm trying to look for it right now.
Mr. Biggerstaff.
Senator Scoy and members of the Conference Committee, there's a number of provisions in the Senate article that deal with premium cigars, and I can give you those provisions. They are on, they start on page 24 of the side-by-side. And it would be Senate Article 4, Sections 18,
for cigars.
19, 23, 25, and 28.
Okay. I would move that.
Only the parts of that that relate to premium cigars, right?
Mr. Michaels, did we catch it all?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I just want to make clear that it's just those provisions of your sections that relate to premium cigars and not any of the other related tobacco.
And Mr. Sylvia, Ms. Pollack, does all that work for you?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Thank you. Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Thank you. Senator Ress, should we move to sales tax? We need to recess just for a few minutes. Sure, do you have stuff?
I don't know. Are you ready for anything?
Yeah.
Well, we might have. Mr. Hines is working on a very simple but important amendment.
We can recess.
No.
Because I didn't know if there's anything you wanted to clear out.
Just sure. Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a difficult situation this year with the bill, and I was very pleased to see that the Senate covered it. So I have two issues I just want to bring up real quick. One is you have the Minsky internship provision kind of sitting on the page, but we haven't really discussed that much. In the Minnesota, the colleges, there was an internship credit program for businesses that would do interns.
Greater Minnesota,
yes, sorry. And it's sitting on the bottom line of the page, and I didn't know if we talked about it. So I just wanted to mention, in the House, we took no bills in higher ed at all. We didn't hear any. And so that bill didn't get a hearing. I'm very interested in it and was just hoping that was going to stay. So I just wanted to mention that. And I don't know if that's going to remain in play here till the end, but I just wanted to support your position and was very disappointed the House couldn't have a hearing at all for that bill.
Well, you know, Representative Norton, I'm glad you brought that up because I really think that's important. And I kind of modeled that off of former Speaker Keller Anderson's internship program that she's doing with the high-tech folks. You take college kids and put them in the workforce, and they get a small stipend, and the business gets a little cost covered, and they get great work experience, and they make contacts, and I mean, I just think it's a great idea, and so we're trying to do a little bit of that out and about, and you know, I think that those are things that will help Minnesota's workforce through the years. Representative Norton.
Okay, so thank you, and I'm very pleased. I wasn't sure whether we'd actually adopted that or it was just something still left at the end for discussion because it was on the very bottom of the sheet, so I just wanted to speak in favor of your provision.
Oh, thank you.
And then the second I would Mr. Chair, to consider, and maybe I just move, I don't know how you'd like to handle this, Senate Article 5, Sections 5 and 6, you did move your angel investment tax credit language, but you did not move those provisions. I know Representative Dabney has very strong feelings, but most of the angel investment tax credit money stays in the Twin Cities area and does not get out to rural Minnesota. And this just suggests that the department attempt to get up to 30% of it out into rural Minnesota. And I think that would be a very wise thing to do. And so I'm speaking in favor of Sections 5 and 6 and would like to move those and see if we could discuss it, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
It's on page 30 of the side-by-side.
Sure. We can certainly have some conversation there. Representative Norton, when the Senate was putting additional money into the Angel Investor Program, I was more comfortable with the language kind of trying to direct it more to the rural areas. But we have since had to remove that from our spreadsheet, and so I'm a little uncomfortable. I mean, I recognize that it would be really nice to do that, but I think that we'll just leave, from my perspective, the program as is for now, and I don't have any money in for the Angel Investor Program. So I think, what does it have, a year or so of funding left, something like that?
Yes,
maybe
I understand
two.
It. Yeah, and Mr. Chair, my intent had not been to spend any more money, but just within the current funding source, to keep it as it is, and then just encourage the department as best they can. I know it's been very difficult. I think it's over 90% are in the Twin Cities area, and maybe even higher than that.
And Madam Chair and Representative Norton, I really am sympathetic to that. And when we were putting money into the program, I felt comfortable trying to direct some of it. But being that we're not, I'm more uncomfortable with it. And the other thing I'd like you to pay a little attention to is in the Senate's sales tax provision, we do have a Greater Minnesota jobs component, giving them some sales tax exemptions for development of existing businesses. So I think it's pretty well covered already. And so if you want to make your motion and move that, we can certainly do that. But whatever. So you want to move?
Well, I wouldn't mind moving. We have a lot of new members in the House.
Okay.
And we've talked a lot about this, and the new members are very interested in having this provision. And so in talking with them, I told them I would bring that request forward and see if we couldn't prevail. And if we can't, we can't. But I do think it's important not only for the new members in the House, but for all of Minnesota and business growth. Sure. So I'd like to move that.
Sure. Representative Norton moves the Senate provisions directing angel investor funding to go, I don't remember exactly the language. I think if after a year 40% of the money wasn't being spent in rural Minnesota, they were directed 30% of the money.
If 30% is not achieved, then
Ms.
the credit rate.
Pollack, could you help me with the language? Or
Mr. Chair, yes.
Ms. Pollack.
Section 5, Article 5 of the Senate language requires the commissioner to develop a plan to promote usage of the angel credit in Greater Minnesota and a goal of awarding 30% of the credits to investments in businesses in Greater Minnesota. If that goal is not reached, then the credit rate is increased from 25% to 40% for Greater Minnesota businesses.
Well, I am, and these two are.
So, Mr. Chair, the appropriation would not change. There's just the way that the credit is calculated for Greater Minnesota businesses.
Thank you. Anything else, members?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, sir. You know, we always have some challenges here of operating in our silos. And while I'm not fully familiar with the jobs bill that passed off of our, both of our floors now is on its way to the governor, there's significant job creation aid there. The MIF funds get a significant increase in funding. I think there's some strategies out there that I'm hopeful are helpful for greater Minnesota that are more targeted. And as the story I told the other day of the gentleman whose business is headquartered in the metro area, but the production jobs are in greater Minnesota, and this provision would miss that. And so I think we're better off with the jobs bill.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion does not prevail. Thank you, Representative Norton. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Dabney.
I've got Mr. Hines spoke with Tim Strom from our staff, who's the education guy, and this is just the...
We're down to handwritten ones.
I don't know how staff sits back there without the computers and gets everything done that they do.
We used to do it like this. Yes.
And it's good, you know, good to bring back the old times occasionally. This is just deals with the integration levy. As you'll recall, this is part of the leadership agreement. And according to Mr. Strom on the House side, all we need to say is that the integration levy is 30% of integration revenue.
Did you drop off?
Well, Mr. Hines had it. So it's not only handwritten, it's elegant in its simplicity.
Madam Chair. Madam Chair and Representative Dabney, I actually have the integration levy language in format.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll hand this out.
It doesn't have the charm.
Well, okay, we can vote this down, and then I'll... you know, Madam Chair, I was kind of hoping to hold on this issue just a little bit.
So why don't we take our recess?
Yes, let's take our recess. 5-minute recess. We're in recess. Call the Tax Conference Committee back to order. Thank you for being patient, everyone. Members, I think what we're proposing to do, I've been in conversation with Chair Lencheski. We are going to make the motions that get our 130 numbers language in the bill. We have the spreadsheets that have been around, so we're going to get that language in the bill. Senator Dietzig has a technical amendment to fix the premium cigar language. Senator Rest has the sales tax discussion that we started last night and are finishing up this morning. And then we will turn to the House for your motions on the 130 and any other issues you have. Is that fine with the members? Everybody okay with that? You want to start, Senator Dietzig? Okay. Go ahead and start, Senator Dietzig.
I'll start with, we have some technical changes on the premium cigars. So in section, Senate Article 4, Section 22, Paragraph A, we need to change to the House rate of 95%. And then in Article...
Senator Dietzig?
Yes.
Ms. Pollack, can you help with the technical amendment? Ms. Pollack.
Mr. Chair, on the side-by-side, the page number is...
24, I believe.
Correct. Page 24. Mr. Chair, the issue just on the premium cigars is that we just need to adopt some technical language to provide for the rate for premium cigars that gets picked up in the language in Section 22 and 24, Paragraph A, but we're taking the House rate of 95% instead of the Senate 90.
Mr. Biggerstaff.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Any other discussion, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted.
Okay.
Thank you, Senator Dietzick. Senator Dietzick.
And then this is still regarding premium cigars and tobacco. We need to adopt Senate Article 50, which is a repealer.
Ms. Pollack or Mr. Biggerstaff, is that okay?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Ms.
Yes.
Pollack, thank
this,
you.
This repeals the health impact fee and fund.
All right.
Discussion, yeah. Members, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign, motion prevails, provisions adopted. Senator Dietzick, is there one more? Yeah. Senator Dietzick.
This is regarding the historic tax credits. So Senate Article 5, Section 22 is technical and definitions. Section 23, the House did a fee up to $35,000. The Senate did a fee up to $45,000. So we're splitting the difference, and we'll change that to $40,000. Then we need to adopt House Article 6, Section 30, which is some technical changes. Senate Article 5, Section 25, which is, again, technical in regarding partnerships. Senate Article 5, Section 27, which is the sunset extension, and Senate Article 40, which is the effective date. So I move the sections just numbered to be adopted.
Ms. Pollack or Ms. Templin?
Mr. Chair, one of the sections is the fee increase, and that has a special revenue fund impact. It's about $240,000. That is raised from the fee increase.
Madam Chair, are you okay with that? It's $240,000 of increased fee. It's in a special revenue fund. It's an increase. So, yeah. Okay, any other discussion, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Thank you, Senator Dietzick. Madam Chair, in order to get the language in order for what is on the spreadsheet on the Senate. Do we have this that we can hand out?
A few copies.
A few copies. Well, that's better than no copies. I wondered if I didn't have two of them here.
This one?
Yeah,
you have a copy. I was given one. Good. Does everyone have one?
No.
Happy to share it. I already wrote on it.
We should.
I already added three items.
Well, Madam Chair, I'd like to move Article 3, Section 114 with the A89 amendment. 1 through 14 with the A89 amendment. And, Madam Chair and members, what the A89 amendment does is what we had discussion with regard to the freeze on the levies. And what we have done is for school districts that had a referendum fail last year, they can run one. For school districts that have a district authorizing or reauthorizing language or board action up to June 30th, Representative Benson, we move the date back a month at your request. They need a resolution.
Yeah. Not just an agenda.
Not just an agenda item. They actually need a resolution because the agenda items are impossible to track.
Right.
Senator Dietzick.
Thank you. And then I just want to confirm, and I think this is where I'm supposed to do this. So schools that with statutory operating debt are exempt from these requirements?
Madam Chair and members, and I'd like the staff to, if you know, I think this is correct. I think schools that are in statutory operating debt are exempt from the requirements of referendum and can run them any time. Is that sound accurate? I believe that's the case.
Mr. Chair and members, I can Ms. look McCoy, that up, but I believe you're correct.
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
They don't have to wait for a general election.
They don't have to wait. They don't have to wait for a general election. They can run. Any other discussion, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Now I would like to move Article 2, Section 15 through 25, page 11 through 13 on the side-by-side. This is the PILT provision as amended by the A46. Any discussion, members? The A46 was a provision that deleted a loophole that I had left, so we got rid of that. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Thank you, members. Members,
The next provision that the Senate would like to move is Article 2, Section 34, with the A91 amendment. And members, this is what's left of my work this session with regard to special assessments and how the state is not being uniform in their paying these special assessments to our local governments. In the city of Moose Lake, I felt that it was a particular problem. This is an appropriation to the city of Moose Lake to help them with their water line that they have constructed and paid for, and the state is not utilizing and paying a special assessment on. Now, I understand that there might have been some work that was done very recently, but this is in the Senate 130. Any discussion, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The provision is adopted, including the A91 amendment. Senator Dietzig's not here. Madam Chair, we are proposing to do the short line railroad credit, Article 5, Section 11 and 13, part of those. Ms. Manzi.
Mr. Chair, during the recess, I was looking at the Department of Revenue's memo about technical issues on provisions, and they did have some suggested alternate language for, I think it was the individual subtraction for the short line railroad, so we may want to consider that as you make this motion.
And Ms. Manzi, do you have that language? Or, Madam Chair, should I direct staff to make the department technical changes?
Mr. Chair, I have it only in the memo from the department. I don't have it drafted. I could read it to you if you'd like. Or
okay, thank you. I'm going to move Article 5, Section 11, Part 13, Part, with the direction that Ms. Manzi and Ms. Pollack are going to work out the technical changes brought forth by the department.
You meant to say Section 11.
Section 11 part and 13 part. Thank you, Senator Rest. Any discussion, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Greater Minnesota Internship Credit. Article 5, Section 9 and 17. Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
I would love to move that.
Representative North.
That
was Ms. Pollack.
Oh, Ms. Pollack.
Mr. Chair, this is another issue that in the department memo had some suggested technical changes for the language. So if you could request staff to make those changes if the committee adopts this provision.
Representative Norton.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Article 5, Section 9 and 17 with the changes just suggested by staff.
And I'm... Ms. Representative Norton, I'm pleased that you're so pleased with the Senate provisions that we put to Congress. Any other discussion, members? Staff is clear on the technical changes that might be forthcoming?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Pollack. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Please don't try to steal her away to the Senate, if that's what you meant.
You know, we almost had a
Article
pay advantage.
One. We want her to stay in the House.
Madam Chair, I have the A116 amendment. Can we pass that out, staff, please? And while that's being passed out, I'm going to do the Brewer's credit.
Mm-hmm. We haven't done this one yet.
Article 5, Section 38.
The Brewer's credit, yeah. Everything except historic and Brewer's. Okay. Historic.
Yes, and Carrie's going to do the historic credit.
Yeah.
When she gets
it. Oh, we're doing the Brewers.
We're doing the Brewers credit.
Right now.
And Madam Chair and Representative Dabney, we tried to work within to get the micro credit and the wineries credit in. We just didn't have room. We would be supportive if somebody on your side wanted to move it and pay for it, but we just couldn't get that worked in.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Dabney.
As I recall, Senator Dzidzik's micro DeSoto's credit is negligible.
Yeah, well, she didn't quite get that far with it.
Oh.
Work out your stuff. We'll take whatever you take. Anything else? Representative Norton.
And I'm sorry, I haven't been a part of a lot of these discussions. I'm not opposed to this, but I understood the need for it when we were raising an alcohol tax. I guess I'm just curious why we're giving a credit when we didn't raise the tax.
Yeah, Representative Norton, this is a credit that's been ongoing, and we have had it in our bill, and we didn't raise alcohol taxes. We just think it's helpful to these brewers that are developing quite a growing little industry in Minnesota, and I happen to be particularly fond to a couple of their products. So,
would you make a recommendation,
Mr. Chair? Pretty well.
Yes, Representative Norton had the question I had. What
could you make a recommendation for us?
What are they?
Oh, well, you know, if you go to the Happy Gnome, they have quite a selection.
I do.
And it's you know, not where you'd want to spend more than an hour, probably, but. Any other conversations? Staff has the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. We now have Senator Dietzick and the historic credit. We did all of that?
We did.
Yep.
But,
was that one? I guess that was that one complicated page.
Done that.
Historic credit.
Yes, that was the complicated page. Oh, yes, you're right.
Thank you.
Did we adopt the A116 amendment? Is it passed out? Everybody have the A116? Yes?
Yeah. Okay.
Madam Chair, this is an innovation and design project that's going on in rural areas, and they're working with Ag Utilization Research Institute, and I would ask for your support for this real creative project that's going on to try to utilize egg products and keep the processing of egg product money in the rural areas. Representative Norton.
Can I just ask again? I've heard discussion about this. Do you know if the House had any hearings on this particular issue this year?
You know, I think there were hearings in both bodies, in the agriculture and the ag budget divisions.
And they didn't pass it, and you're picking it up?
Well, actually, I think they did. I think both bodies had it. It didn't survive all the way through to the end, so I thought I would kind of pick this up as we're moving toward the end of the line here.
Thank you,
Representative Norton. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I think we previously had adopted some special aid for the city of Red Wing relative to the natural disaster that they just had, the terrible rainstorm, and in further consultation with them, I'd like to move that the appropriation was $750,000 to $2 million.
Any discussion, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Madam Chair, we have removed the MA subtraction from our list in our 130. We're trying to make things work out, and we have had information that the
I move that the appropriation for the city of Red Wing, which we had previously adopted at $750,000, be increased to $1 million to deal with their natural disaster in the last couple of weeks.
Senator Rest moves $250,000 increase for the city of Red Wing.
I think that was go ahead.
Senator Rest.
I think that was also adopted by an amendment.
It was an amendment.
It was adopted by an amendment. I don't know the number.
Yeah.
Everybody
just increasing
okay with
the
that?
Amount. Okay.
Seeing no more discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The provision that you heard is adopted. I mentioned the MA subtraction, so we're done with that. Let me just turn around. Senator Dietzick.
It's from me. And this is one for me. Same thing.
Ms. Pollack.
Mr. Chair and members, just to revisit the A89 amendment on the education, if the committee could incorporate the following language. It would hold statutory operating districts harmless for the purposes of the operating referendum. We just want to incorporate some language if that was the intent of the committee to do that.
Well, Madam Chair and members, that is the intent of the committee. And so do we need to make another motion, Ms. McQuay, or can you incorporate that into the original motion?
Mr. Chair, the motion would be to include the following language into the A89.
Senator Dietzick moves the language as being read by Ms. McQuay. Ms. McQuay.
On the A89 amendment, after page 1, after line 10, insert paragraph E. Paragraph A shall not apply to a district if the district is in statutory operating debt under 123B81 as of June 30th, 2013, and has an approved plan with the Department of Education.
Anything else, members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair, did you get a chance to look at
that? I haven't had a chance.
Okay, I just wanted to
back and read it right now.
I think we just want to try to make sure that we can accommodate what we're hearing from the governor's office. No thoughts on, you know, how we do that. I don't know the timing. Is that during the break, maybe? I have no idea.
Well, Madam Chair.
And that actually came to our staff.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we had a little break, so I checked my phone, and I just want to make sure that they know that we're going to do that.
Sure.
Right? I mean,
sure.
We have nothing.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Just, and this is the same issue with all the school stuff that you're talking about, too, is trying to get everyone to make sure everything's working. So maybe that's the break.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've adopted most of those. I think we've already adopted.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, sorry.
Madam Chair and members, I think that what we should do to help facilitate this is to get what we're going to do on the adopted, then recess, probably for 3 hours, and let folks look at what's going on. Let the governor's office and the department look at what we've done, make sure everything works. We will have two outstanding items that will have to be resolved before the committee closes up. That's the PCR provision that's in the House bill and the legislative office building that's in the Senate bill. Those issues and the integration levy. Those will have to be resolved. They will not be resolved before we recess, but they will be resolved today. Senator Rest's sales tax provision. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do have, I can't remember how far we had gotten with the, we got nowhere. So I wonder if I could ask Ms. Dalton, and so that we're all understanding what needs to be adopted here. Ms. Dalton and Ms. Pollack or Ms. McQuay, whoever was doing that last night before we had to go for the vote, to come and go through the summary document. And then I'll have a couple of motions.
Ms. Dalton and Ms. Pollack. Ms. Pollack, start. Ms. Pollack.
Mr. Chair and members, we had just gotten started on the first line of this document titled Governor House Senate Agreement on Sales Tax Items. And just as a reminder, the reference to the A108 on this document should be the A112. And this is the amendment that House and Senate staff and the department have worked on to clarify the warehousing and storage and the electronic and commercial and equipment repair and maintenance items as newly taxable services. So the committee would need to adopt the A112 if it intends to adopt these provisions as they are scored in the spreadsheet.
And Ms. Pollack, is that the only motion that we'll need, and then we can discuss that?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Senator Rest?
I would move the A112.
Senator Rest moves the A112 amendment. Any discussion, members? Seeing none.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Senjum.
Just on that, I've had conversations. People are wondering, for instance, in the repair and maintenance area, whether how that might affect things like computer software services and things like that. Could Ms. Pollack help us on some of that? How deep does this amendment go into some of those kind of services, information technology and so on?
Ms. Pollack.
Mr. Chair and Senator Senjum, the provision in Clause 1, beginning on line 1.6 of the amendment, this provision does not apply to networking or software services. It's just electronic items, so it would be hardware, and does not apply to any IT or networking services.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair.
People are having a hard time hearing.
Everybody speak up and speak into your microphones. Maybe that's why I'm not hearing any discussion on all these motions. It's been going way too good. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Ms. Pollack. And we did not adopt the provision yet. We just adopted the amendment.
Just the language, the descriptions. Nothing more than that. Okay? Yeah. Nothing more than that.
Mr. Chair, moving down next on the chart, Senate Article 7, Sections 35, 38, and 39 are just extending existing exemptions for veterans groups and for fundraising events and sales for nonprofit groups. These groups are currently exempt for certain purposes, and this would be extending the exemption for those same groups. This is more of a technical item.
Senator Rest.
Chairman. I note in that third box, do we need to adopt any additional language to make this operative, or is just adopting those sections in the Senate bill?
Ms.
Mr.
Pollack.
Chair, Senator S., correct. It's just adopting the language in those three sections.
Ms. Pollack or Ms. Dalton? Ms. Pollack.
So I need to do that.
You need to do that?
I think I moved,
Senator
I need to move that. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, yes, if you'd like to move the adopt these piece by piece.
I'll wait and adopt.
Everything at once.
Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair.
Just for Senator Rest, just for following along, there's the new cheat sheets that we're working off. Is the everything when we started on the deal, we were adopting all the, you know, the state and the corporate, and is everything... Can I ignore this sheet because everything made it onto this sheet? Are there some provisions that we're going to have to track separately?
I think you can.
Senator Rest.
I think you can because this sheet includes the things we've already adopted from that sheet.
Okay.
Ms. Dalton.
Okay, thank you.
I was going to say, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is all of the money items on sales tax that were part of the global agreement.
Good.
Thank you. Senator Rest or Ms. Pollack, where are we going? Ms. Pollack.
The next section is the repeal of the exemption for telecommunications equipment, and this is in Senate Article 7, part of Section 56, and a repealer at the end of the article in it's a repealer in Section 56, part of Section 56. Mr. Chair, moving down is the sales tax exemption for cities and counties. And this is Article 7, Section 63. And the effective date in the section language will change to sales after December 31, 2013. The next provision is the upfront capital equipment exemption. And this is contained in House Article 1, Section 7. The new language for... the new method of calculating motor vehicle paint and supplies is contained in both the Senate and House articles, but the House language is preferred, and that's in Article 8, part of Section 2 and Section 3. The multiple points of use provision has already been adopted by the committee in the A-119. There are some construction exemptions for various economic development projects. that are contained in Senate Article 7, Sections 42, 43, and 41. And then in Sections 45 and 47 are the refund provisions for applying for the sales tax refund that for which the sales tax is paid up front and then refunded, and also contains the repeal of the capital equipment refund provision. The religious affiliation exemption has already been adopted by the committee, and that's in House Article 8, Section 11. The Rochester construction exemption for the DMC projects is in the new DMC article that was adopted yesterday. The exemption for aircraft parts and labor is in Senate Article 4, Sections 12 and 13. The exemption for certain nursing home purchases has already been adopted by the committee. The durable medical equipment exemption has been adopted, but we have that the committee has yet to decide whether to make this retroactive on the medical equipment. As it appears on the spreadsheet, the retroactive effective date is accounted for.
We're not going to make it retroactive, I don't think. No, Ms. Pollack, Senator Rest is going to make a motion, and I don't think we're going to make that retroactive.
Okay. That'll change.
But not yet. Go ahead.
Ms. Pollack.
Mr. Chair, the exemption for the modification of the exemption for data centers is provided for, and the committee has already adopted the A82 amendment. The critical access dental provider exemption has been adopted and as amended by the A57.
Ms. Pollack.
Correct. Mr. Chair, the Greater Minnesota Business Expansion Sales Tax Exemption is in Senate Article 7, Section 32. The qualification and the definition for what qualifies as a Greater Minnesota business is contained currently in the Senate income tax article, but since we are only taking the sales tax exemption, that language from Article 5, Section 1 will be moved to the new sales tax article should the in the drafting process. Next is the affiliate nexus provisions, and we have an amendment to hand out on that. It's the A1. Oh, I'm sorry. We do have an amendment. I'm sorry. It is the
A140.
And Ms. Pollack, do you have copies?
Yes.
There. Could the page come, please, and the amendment's out? We really appreciate the work you two are doing. Right. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the A140 amendment, which is being handed out, is the amendment worked out with the Department of Revenue staff that basically allows the state to, if the Main Street Tax Fairness Act is passed by Congress this summer, the state can act immediately to implement the tax on remote sellers.
And Senator Rest moves the A140 amendment. Discussion, members? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, there are also what has been referred to constantly as the affiliate nexus provisions actually are three provisions. They are a solicitor definition, a drop shipment provision, and the Main Street Fairness Act provision, which you just adopted. The solicitor definition, the preferred language is in House Article 8, Section 6, with one technical change, which is indicated on this sheet, adding the words substantially similar. And then on Senate Article 7, Section 24 right. is the drop but shipment no, language. It's only part of that section, but that is a technical change also. It's deleting e-seller and inserting reseller. It was a typo.
Senator Rest. You need to move that?
Do I need to move that? I don't
need to move the, you need to all move the oral amendments.
I move the oral amendments.
Senator Ress moves the oral amendment. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Senator Ress.
Yes. We have two more things, right?
Two more. Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, the next provision is on digital goods, and there is an amendment, the A174A.
Just deal with textbooks.
Textbooks and other digitals.
Oh, yeah, this is good. Senator Ress to the A174A amendment.
Mr. Chairman, the digital goods provisions are trying to create a level playing field, and we want it to go both ways here. And so textbooks that are sold at a university bookstore are not subject to the sales tax, and so we want to make sure that digital downloads that are part of coursework that are sold in a university setting are also not subject to the sales tax. So this is just lining those up.
Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, this may be an obvious question, but what about K-12 and their purchase of digital textbooks or access to digital texts?
It says in a school,
Center
college,
rest.
University, et cetera.
All right. Mr. Chair, I'm hearing one thing, reading another, and just
Dabney.
Wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Anything else, members? Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the other thing that this amendment does is it modifies the definition of other digital products which are taxable in the current Senate language. There are a number of specified digital goods, e-books, video, iTunes, the audio. All of those have SS streamlined sales tax definitions. And then there was a number of things that were other digital goods that don't have definitions, and they have been raising some issues and concerns. What this amendment does is it takes out most of those things and only leaves in e-greeting cards and online gaming. So everything else out of the other digital goods is removed.
Discussion, members? Senator S. moves the A174A amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Ms. Pollack.
Mr. Chair, the final provision is to adopt parallel taxation of direct satellite services, and this language is contained in both part of Section 6 and in the repealer in Section 56 of the Senate article.
Senator S.
I don't think we need a motion on.
Don't need a motion.
On that part. So now that is the description of the of every item, and the language is now perfected, as we would say. Is that correct,
Mr. Chair?
Senator
Rest. The three amendments that have been adopted correctly reflect the language that needs to be adopted. There are some items in the memo from the department, just on technical things that need to be addressed in the language that we would ask for your permission to address in the final drafting process.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we direct the staff to work with the department to make sure that the technical issues are resolved.
And so in the motion that you're planning on making, we will direct
just
staff.
Just make that motion right now, separately.
You made the motion?
Just to direct the staff to do the technical fixes.
Senator S. moves that staff be directed to correct the technical issues. Any discussion, members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted.
Then, Mr. Chairman, I have a more substantive motion, and that deals with three issues with regard to effective dates. With regard to the durable medical equipment exemption, we do not want retroactivity there, so I'm not sure. Maybe you can give a suggestion to just take away the retroactivity.
Ms.
Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rust.
It's okay.
I keep doing
Go ahead.
Senator Rust, I apologize. I think your motion would be For Article 7, Sections 26 and 27, delete the effective date and replace it with effective for sales and purchases made after June 30th, 2013.
Okay, that will be one element of my motion. Then the second.
Did staff get that?
Mr. Okay. Chair, yes.
The second has to do with the effective date for the imposition of the sales tax expansion for warehousing and storage, which we've adopted the language, that would become effective April 1st of 2014. And the third effective date would be with regard to the upfront capital equipment exemption, which would become effective July 1 of 2014.
Does everybody have the amendment? And Senator Rest, do you want to speak to the amendment?
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Rest,
as we are, considering base expansion in some of these items, it seems to me that they really warrant some really close inspection of the effects they're going to have, and I think particularly concerning has been. The one on warehousing, and this gives us time to examine fully that provision by delaying the effective date. So I think that is a the language is still there, but by delaying it, we have an opportunity that at this point, by also delaying the capital equipment exemption to make sure that everything works, or whether it's we indeed go forward with it.
Just so I'm clear and everybody's clear, the effect of part of this amendment is that the warehousing provision will be delayed until April 1st
of 2014.
We will be in legislative session then. If there are issues, hopefully we can resolve them. Madam Chair.
The spreadsheet works, and it's not out of balance by making that. Those two changes with capital equipment effective date and the warehousing capital equipment date. And I have visited with the chair and with a representative from the governor's office and the commissioner of revenue, and they're agreeable to this reinterpretation, if you will, of the overall agreement.
Madam Chair.
I just want to thank Senator Rest. She's worked so hard on all this, and I know the commissioner and the governor's office have been working on it all day and all yesterday and the day before, Ms. Dalton, Ms. Pollack, and Senator Rest. I think people will see there's a dramatic improvement and understanding, and really so much appreciate the hard work on that.
Commissioner Franz.
Mr. Chair and Madam Chair, and Senator Rest, thank you very much for making those adjustments. We think the suggestion is well taken, and we look forward to working with you as we implement the changes that are made. These effective dates, I think, will make it much more effective. And thank you for working with the governor on that.
Members, any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted.
This whole sheet.
Senator Rest.
Then maybe we just need to have now an overall adoption of this sheet that includes now the amendments brought about by the changes and the effective dates, just to make clear.
Ms. Pollack or Ms. Dalton, can you help us with the motion to adopt the sheet that we just worked through?
Mr. Chair, the motion would be to adopt all of the language in the middle column as amended.
Yes. Senator Rest.
Yep.
Moves the motion as read by Ms. Pollack. Any questions, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevailed. This provision is adopted. Thank you very much, Senator Rest, for your hard work. I know you've worked on this not just this session, but many years. Thank you very much.
Lots of years in some of those.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering, so I know we still have Representative Dabney's 130. Mm-hmm. Did you want to do that next? And then I'm just trying to keep a list of what's outstanding as we go, because I think we're kind of getting down to it. And
yep.
So I was going to maybe after that try to get through just a couple?
Yep, whatever you want, Madam Chair. Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How do you want to proceed on this? Do you want to go through the side-by-side? Do you just simply want me to review the House aids and credits expenditures that are on the cheat sheet that staff provided us last evening?
Well, Representative Dabney, we walked through this spreadsheet pretty thoroughly last night. I would start making motions.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Michael, can you or other staff provide some direction as to where in the spread, in the side-by-side, pardon me, we'll find these provisions so that folks can follow along?
You know, and it might not be it might be handy if there were fresh, Madam Chair, if I could ask the staff if there were fresh copies for the members, might be helpful. I don't know where mine has disappeared to.
You can use it because I think I have two.
Okay. And Representative Dabney, I don't know, you know, I know you guys, we didn't talk about our provisions, and if you don't want us talking about your provisions, we are not. The department has indicated that they, Mr. Ouellet has a comment he would like to make with regard to the education property tax provision, and so if you, it's up, completely up to you, these are your deal. Mr. Jim, Representative Dabney?
Mr. Ouellet wants to weigh in.
Mr. Ouellet.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Eric Ouellet from the Department of Revenue. I'm not exactly certain what my assignment is here, but
Mr. Ouellet, part of the issue that comes is that, and you know, I'm trying not to weigh in on either side of this issue and just lay out the issues. So don't take this as an advocacy or anything. This is not what it is. But I have heard concerns about the location equity provision in that it doesn't lower the caps so that the authority for school board approved referendum is all an increase. And I heard that there was some concerns from the department about the scale of that increase. And I just thought that if the department has anything they wanted to say, I would give you the opportunity. But first, Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I earlier this morning asked House fiscal staff to rework the language regarding the location equity levy so it better coordinated with your work on equalization and included, there was that piece looking at the equalization, expansion of equalization that you did, and then also included the cap as recommended by the Department of Education Commissioner's Education Finance Working Group. To review, that working group came out with, they must have paid attention to Commissioner Franz, a three-legged stool on education funding reform. One was the equalization that you do. Second part was increased equity funding, which is done in the K-12 bill. And the third was this location equity levy with a reduction in the caps and the elimination of the existing grandfathered districts. And so staff was busy finishing up the K-12 bill. I'll come back with an amendment that does those pieces.
That.
Exactly. Okay. So or maybe Mr. Ouellet's concern is well-founded, but we're on it.
Okay. Representative Dabney, I see Dr. Melcher here. You
certainly.
Dr. Melcher?
If it's agreeable to you.
Oh, no.
Also here from the House. Okay.
Mr. Strom.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Strom, this gentleman I'd asked to assist in developing the amendment.
So Mr. Strom, who do you match ties with now? I see you're not matched up with Dr. Melcher. We're kind of close.
Dr. Melcher. I hope to find some friends in the Senate.
If you buy me the tie, I'll wear it.
I already did.
Thank you.
Dr. Melcher, or Mr. Strom, whoever's first.
Mr. Chairman and members, Tom Melcher with the Department of Education. As we read through the language, I think there are some things that may need to be clarified. And first, with the amendment on the A50 amendment that would be converting the $300 from voter approved to board approved. There's language there that that would allow a board to adopt this $300. I think you may need a clarification that $300 would somehow come off of the existing amount that you wouldn't. So, for example, if you had a $500 referendum right now, I think the intent was that $300 would be board approved, $200 would be voter approved. But mm-hmm. as Tim and I look at this, we don't see anything in here that specifically says that if you have a $500 referendum, you couldn't just pass a board resolution and grab another $300 and you'd be at $800. I don't think that was the intent,
no.
But I think you may need a sentence in there to clarify that you couldn't simply add on to an existing referendum another $300, that this is really replacing voter approved with board approved. I think that was clear in the education advancement revenue piece, and I think we lost a little clarity. So we would recommend that there be some clarifying language added to clarify that the intent was not to just simply add more board approved levy if you already had a referendum.
Well, Dr. Melcher, is there language that we could work on while we're doing the other pieces that we can fix these things? Mr. Strom is nodding yes, so let's go to work on that if we could, please.
And Mr. Chair, if I might add, there's a couple of other issues going on that would be helpful to address. The referendum program changed somewhat in the education bill. There were changes in the pupil weights. There were changes from the resident to adjusted pupils. And there was an adjustment to the allowance as to how much referendum authority each district had. And I think it'd be wise to try and sync this up with that so that you're on a on a single system of how those dollar values are calculated so that you don't have part of it calculated as $300 times one pupil count and then another part calculated as $200 times another part. So with your indulgence, we would also try and sync that up. And then, Mr. Chair, I think we can get to the point when we put the location equity piece on top of it of having an understanding of what equalizing factor is applying to each of the tiers so we can get a sense of the tax relief that's built in into the three tiers here and the existing and then the new piece in the location equity here.
And Mr. Strom, with regard to the equalizing, you know that the Senate provisions that we've adopted adjust the equalizing factors for what I call the tier zero now, which is the $300 school board approved, and then the tier one, which is the next, I think it's 400 and some dollars because of this pupil change that
yes.
you just referenced, and then the top to the cap. How is this amendment, this location equity amendment, going to relate to those equalizing changes? Because I paid for the equalizing for the current voter approved stuff, but now they're going to add this school board approved provision into what I paid for, and how is that going to interact? Dr. Melcher.
Mr. Chairman and members, the location equity index would be taken off of the top of the referendum as we understand it. So if a school district had referendum revenue in Tier 2, something over $700 per student, what we're assuming is that their Tier 2 revenue would be reduced and they would get this new equalization. So effectively you would be increasing equalization for districts that had a referendum over the limit on Tier 1. So, for example, you had an $1,100 per pupil referendum. The first $700 is equalized at a higher rate. The next $400 is equalized at a lower rate. But when you convert that to location equity, that then becomes equalized at the Tier 1 rate in this bill. And that was, I think, what Tim was referring to as to how did you want that equalization to work, and was it your intent to provide additional equalization for districts that are going into this levy?
Unrelated.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair, can I just ask a
Madam
question?
Chair.
Unrelated. Representative Benson, this is really his thing, and they've got him on the floor. on a concurrence motion on his bill, and he's been asked lots of questions, and we're waiting for him to get down here, but we just know he's going to re-ask all these same questions. Okay. So he should be here momentarily. Can I just ask an unrelated question, maybe?
Before we leave this train
okay, because
of thought,
I think he's just
going to
ask all this same stuff
again. No, but he
again.
Isn't going to ask this question. Okay. I'm pretty sure he isn't.
But I have a question, too.
He doesn't know this. Dr. Melcher, Mr. Strom, so is it possible for the Senate provisions to operate separately from the location equity provisions? So if you're voter approved, you get the equalization that the Senate has in its provision. And if in the location equity, you would be in a different equalizing factor because they have a different equalizing factor in that. And I know it adds complication, but it also makes a difference to me whether the levy is school board approved or voter approved. And you'd get a higher equalizing for the voter approved and then the lower equalizing that Representative Davini has in his bill for the school board approved. Is that something that will work for us as a mechanism?
Mr. Chairman and members, there is in the location equity language you have in front of you, the equalization factor is the current level of Tier 1 equalization, and we presume that would need to be converted with the changes in the education bill. But I believe that's in between the level you have for the first tier and the level for the second tier. So now you've got really three different levels, and I think it would be helpful to clarify. Do you want that like a Tier 2 levy or like a Tier 1 levy, or do you really want that somewhere in between?
I think that it would be better if we left that somewhere in between. And I'm seeing some heads nodding around. And that will be a separate little provision that Representative Davini is bringing forward then. And I am still seeing heads nodding around. Dr. Melcher.
Mr. Chairman, there is one more issue that we thought it would be important to discuss when you talk about the location equity levy, and that is how do you interact with the referendum cap? And, you know, you really have three options there. You could include the location equity levy in the cap so that there would be no additional room under the cap. Or I think what's in the bill now is you don't change the cap, and so therefore the districts that get this location equity levy would have $400 more of room under the cap, where if they're at the cap now, they could go back to the voters.
Sure.
Or you could do something in between. For example, the working group said we would reduce the grandfather cap and then kind of improve the equity within the metro area where some districts have a grandfather cap and others don't. So we reduce only the grandfather cap. So those are, again, another policy question that you have to look at.
So Dr. Melcher and Mr. Strom, can you stay in room 15 for a little while? We'll move on and do some other business so Representative Benson can come off the floor and participate in this discussion. We know he wants to be part of this, and we don't want to just repeat everything again. So is that okay?
Mr. Chair, if
Mr.
we
Strom.
Could come back in about 20 minutes, hopefully we have two more sets of numbers to put into the
K-12
bill so we
o'clock.
Can finish that up. But if we can rush back and put those in, we'd be glad to come right back.
Sure, and just from my perspective, I would anticipate, I think a better policy is to lower the caps. Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair, and I just got a note down that Representative Benson is still defending his bill on the floor. So I do have one question, if I may, before you move them along. And it's for Mr. Strom. Mr. Strom, what's the holdup in the K-12 bill? Is it still open? Do you know what
it's closed. Mr. Chair, Representative Lincheski, it's been closed since about 1:30 last night, but staff has made there's been a number of moving parts, and all of these parts have required a great deal of staff intensive time. We've had the language closed for 4 hours, I suppose, but we've been working on some equalizing factors, and the interplay between the change in the pupil weightings and some of the roll-ins and things have created a great deal of difficulty for us to get to the right numbers.
Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Mr. Strom, because then this will really help work these out, because there won't still be things moving around in the K-12 bill. So I appreciate you waiting for Representative Benson.
No, absolutely.
This is sort of his most important provision, so appreciate that.
If we could see you guys a little around 1 o'clock or a little after, hopefully Representative Benson's back by then. So we'll move on to the other
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Stuff. Representative Davini.
Sure. So, again, Ms. Manzi, perhaps, can direct me to the appropriate provisions in the side-by-side that we would need to adopt for the House's new homestead credit refund program, the expanded the formula changes there that expand eligibility and expand the amount of property tax relief that homestead property taxpayers are going to receive across the state as a result of this work we're all doing here today.
Sure. And Representative Dabney, just so us on the Senate are clear, this is like the circuit breaker?
No. You could say that.
Thank you.
But we like the new name.
Homestead credit refund.
We've always liked the homestead credit. We just thought it had a different mechanism, but it appears
a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Supersize.
It's changed over the years.
It's changed. Anything, members? Do you have a where do I go? I'm sorry. Miss Manzi, I'm sorry. I was, again, not paying attention.
Mr. Chair, members of the conference committee, these provisions start on page 3 of the side-by-side. The first provision would be House Article 2, Section 1, the definition of household income. And there is an amendment to this section requested by the Department of Revenue in their memo with technical suggestions. And it adds a definition of traditional or Roth-style retirement account or plan. I have that, which I could pass out if you'd like to see it. The Senate staff has seen it, and the department has seen it.
Basically, what you want to do is to say it.
I don't know if you want to see it or not.
Do you want to see the amendment?
I don't.
Okay.
Nope, we don't need to see it. What's the amendment? Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, one thing that we do here is encourage Minnesotans to save for their retirement by excluding their contributions. Popular bill.
Senator Dietzel.
Yeah, right.
You heard that bill.
Yes. We did modify it so that you are able to only claim whatever the federal cap is on IRA contributions and the like in a year. So if you're doing a super charged contribution, you're only able to exclude that smaller amount.
I did that bill.
Okay. And the A-148 amendment is, I think, comfort language for the department to further clarify what we mean by retirement account.
Representative Dabney moves the A-148. Questions, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Representative Dabney.
Ms. Manzi, please.
Ms. Manzi.
Mr. Chair, the next provision would be House Article 2, Section 2, which is the new homestead credit refund schedule. This is the same as it was in the House bill as it came from conference. And actually, surprisingly enough, this is the same as it was in House File 2 as introduced.
Thank you.
Wow.
As introduced.
Mr. Chair, the next section will be the homeowner portion of House Article 2, Section 4. Yesterday, you adopted the updating of the inflation adjustment for the renter property tax refund schedule, and this would be adopting the updating of the inflation adjustment for the brackets and maximum refunds for the new schedule in Section 2. The next section is House Article 2, Section 5, and there is an amendment to replace the language in this section with new language to conform to the change on the spreadsheet. This notification provision is being modified in two ways. The significant way is that the notification will not go to all homeowners who the department determines to be eligible based on their income and their property tax amount, but rather only to those whom the department estimates would have a refund of at least $1,000. And that was the change to accomplish the reduction in the spreadsheet cost on this item. There were also some fairly technical changes to the reporting requirement that were requested by Mr. Ouellette on behalf of the department. And let's see, that language, Ms. Jensen, I believe, has that language somewhere in front of her if you would like to see it. The reviser number on that is NM053-2, and I've also provided a copy to Mr. Sylvia.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Emily's got it.
Who are we looking at?
Ms. Jensen, I believe, has the amendment.
Oh, can we get the amendment handed out?
Bring it right.
Okay.
I can't hear.
I'll pause for 1 second, but I'll be in a room. Just a second.
Yep.
And Mr. Chair, once you
have... Ms. Manzi.
Once you have that amendment, that will be the package for the homestead credit refund.
And Ms. Manzi, are we adopting amendments to something that we're going to adopt later as a provision, or are we adopting these as provisions?
Mr. Chair, you adopted the first amendment to something that you would later adopt, and now what you should do is you should move to replace House Article 2, Section 5 with the language in the NM053-2.
Representative Dabney moves what Ms. Manzi just made as a motion.
I sure do.
Any questions, members? Staff knows what we're doing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Motion, provision adopted or amendment?
Mr. Chair, I believe just the amendment.
Amendments adopted.
And then in order to adopt the provision, you would want to adopt House Article 2, Section 1, as amended, House Article 2, Section 2, House Article 2, Section 4, the portion related to homeowners, and House Article 2, Section 5, as amended.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Dabney moves the motion that Ms. Manzi just stated. Discussion, members. Everybody knows that this is going to be fine. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Representative Dabney.
I'm wondering if we're turning to Ms. Dalton at this time.
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dabney, to move the LGA growth in the future, you would be moving House Article 3, Sections 17 and 19, which is on page 11 of the side-by-side, with... And now I'm looking for the amendment, which I've now lost underneath other amendments, with the A-170A amendment.
Oh, I'm looking at
the wrong line.
Okay. Ms. Dalton.
The A-170A amendment is also going to need to have an oral amendment to it because it's amending the same section of statute that was amended with the Minoman and Red Wing provisions adopted by the Senate. So as soon as you have it, I'll tell you what change needs to be made to that amendment.
Ms. Dalton.
On line 3 of that amendment, the two numbers need to be, the $2 amounts need to be increased. The $508,938,012 needs to be changed to 510098012, and the 511438012 needs to be changed to 511598012.
Representative Dabney moves an oral amendment on the to the A-1. Have we moved the A-170 amendment?
We have not. I could move that at this time, Mr. Chair.
Representative Dabney moves the A-170 amendment. Representative Dabney moves an oral amendment to the A-170A.
It's 170A amendment.
170A. Yeah. Is that what I'm not saying?
No, you didn't. Forgot the A. You
forgot
the
I forgot the A. Well, I'm not Canadian.
A.
There you go. Oh, God. Don't say that until I'm right.
On line 3, change the $508,938,012 to $510,098,012 and change the $511,438,012 to $511,598,012. Very clear. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Dalton, what is the motion at this time for adoption?
Ms. Dalton.
The motion at this time would be to adopt House Article 8, Section...
Well, Ms. Dalton, we haven't adopted the 170. We just did the oral amendment.
Oh.
170A.
And it would be...
170A.
The one... Representative, oh, I see. So then I would move adoption of the 170A amendment.
Representative Dabney moves the 170A amendment as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted.
And Mr.
Representative
Chair,
Dabney.
Ms. Dalton, is there anything more we need to do to adopt that provision in the bill?
And
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dabney, then the motion becomes to adopt the out years of House Article 8, Section 7. I've lost my, again, I've lost my page. I'm sorry, House Article 3, Section 17 and 19.
I'd so move.
Representative Dabney moves House Article 3, Section 17 and 19.
As amended.
As amended.
As amended, yes.
Everybody knows. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments. Provisions adopted. Representative Dabney.
Thank you. Then I believe we stay with Ms. Dalton on the border city. Mr. Hines, I'm sorry.
Mr. Hines.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dabney, I believe you'd want to adopt House Article 9, Section 2 on page 64 of the side-by-side.
Representative Dabney moves House Article 9, Section 2.
Yes.
Border cities. Yes. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments. Provisions adopted.
Representative Dabney.
Mr. Hines.
Mr. Hines.
Could I, at the same time as we're thinking about border cities, I don't think we ever did adopt the border city provision that's up in the common block up near the top of the page, the border city disparity credit.
Yes.
Do you want to do that at this time? I think the rest of those provisions have
been.
If that's acceptable to the chair.
Representative, yes, Representative Dabney and Madam Chair. The Senate heard this, and we had the 2% at 1.9. And the reason that the community requested that is they wanted to be under 2%. They thought there was some marketing advantage for them. That's a slight cost. It's a little cost.
I'm sorry.
Representative,
I was reading and listening at the same time, and that never goes well.
Representative Dabney, the Senate had the 2% at 1.9, and the city had requested that because they thought there was some marketing advantage to that. It does bear a slight cost. I think we have a room within our budget to deal with that, but if you would be willing to do an oral amendment to 1.9, I think Moorhead would be happier.
Mr. Chair, I assume that we divide whatever the incremental cost is.
This is above the line.
This is above the line. That I certainly would rather accommodate the city then, if that's their preference. So I would move
Mr. Chair and members, I'll just say that in the first biennium, the additional cost beyond what's on the spreadsheet, there is $520,000. And in the first biennium, and then in the second, $1,080,000 in the second.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
And that is just.
Representative Dabney moves an oral amendment to change the 2% to 1.9%.
That's correct.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted.
Thank you.
Representative Dabney.
The MOA provision.
No, we got to adopt this provision. You need it.
I'm just trying to move too fast, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry.
Representative Dabney. Mr. Hines.
I think what you want to do is adopt on page 8 of the side-by-side the House, the Senate Article 2, Section 17, because that's the one that's already set at the 1.9. The House version is at the 2. The Senate version is at the 1.9 if you adopt the Senate provision.
Mr. Chair, does that mean we need to reconsider the motion I just made?
Mr. Hines, do we need to reconsider?
Well, I kind of took it that maybe you were just amending the spreadsheet to say the one, to say the 1.9. But at any rate, if you just adopt the Senate provision straight up, that's all you need to do.
Okay. Then, as is. Just a second. Mr. Sylvia.
Mr. Chair, I think it would be easier if we did move to reconsider that and then lay that amendment on the table and then just adopt Article 2, Section 17 of the Senate because it is already at 1.9.
Representative Lencheski moves we reconsider the previous motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. We're reconsidered. We'll lay that on the table. Representative Dabney moves Senate Article 2, Section 17.
That's correct.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Representative Dabney.
Mr. Hines, are you our Mall of America man? You are done. Ms. Manzi is leaning forward.
No.
Mr. Michael.
Mr. Michael.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you adopted all of those Mall of America provisions yesterday in adopting that, and so and the costs just flow through as a result of that. So I don't think you need to do anything, take any more action to do that.
Okay. Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, the DOR tobacco study goes down to Mr. Biggerstaff, please.
Mr. Biggerstaff.
Mr. Chair, this is House Article 5, Section 18, and I did get a note from the Department of Revenue asking if we could change the due date of the study to February 15th of 2014 as opposed to January 1st. So,
Mr. Chair, that's certainly acceptable to me.
Representative Dabney moves the effect. The due date to be, what was that, Mr. Biggerstaff?
February 15th of 2014.
February 15th of 2014. Representative Dabney moves. Can I move that as incorporation? No, I better do it. An oral amendment to change the date. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Now, Representative Dabney.
Mr. Biggerstaff, where would I find that provision in the side-by-side?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dabney, it's on page 27.
Mr. Chair, then I would like to move
Representative Dabney.
Article 4, Section 49 of the Senate bill as amended.
Article 4, Section 29 of the Senate?
49.
49 of the Senate.
That correct, Mr. Biggerstaff? Thumbs up from the staff. As amended.
Representative Dabney moves Senate Article 4, Section 49, as amended, DOR tobacco study. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, I believe we adopted earlier today the Target XL coordination study, so I'm not – did we not? Oh, it was up for discussion. Let me see if I can find – that amendment. Thank you, Senator Zizek. I would like to move the A130649 amendment. We adopted it for discussion. I would like to move that provision at this time, including the appropriation to the Department of Admin.
Representative Dabney moves the
A13-0649
as amended? No, but directing an appropriation to MMB.
Admin.
Admin, okay. Any discussion, members? Staff have that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendment provisions adopted. Representative Dabney.
And then, Mr. Chair, we have had a location equity amendment around. At this point, I would like to move the A152 amendment. We'll put it in the bill with the understanding that staff will be coming back with some new verbiage possibly later today.
Representative Benson.
Yes, Representative Benson moves.
I don't think him, but he'll be back.
Representative Dabney?
Mr. Hines, please.
Mr. Hines.
Mr. Chair, there is an oral amendment which I think is handwritten on the copies you have, perhaps, if you have copies even.
I don't.
I think there's a pile in Senator Representative Benson's.
The pile's
right there.
This one? Oh, no.
No, I think.
Yeah. Oh,
give me a moment.
Oh, is it Benson?
What's the number again?
152.
152?
Yes. Oh, he's got a bunch. So, Mr. Chair, if I could finish that.
Mr. Hines.
On page 3, line 4, after, and this may be marked already, but after the word zero, insert the word or on line 3.4.
Sir, just gave an amendment. Did you
Makes one more.
No, we're buried. That's why I'm using the floor now. Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair.
You run a mean gavel, and you can tell we're getting close because we're starting to get things down on the floor.
I know.
Because we know we're done.
It's good to be in the trash.
Yes.
Working in the trash. Yes. You know, I got off my high horse and got in the gutter where the trash is right now.
Exactly.
Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, I'd first like to move the oral amendment.
Representative Dabney moves the oral amendment. Is it something that we should read?
Mr. Hines just reviewed it for the committee.
As,
we can do it again.
As read by Mr. Hines. Any members have questions? Any staff have questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendment's adopted. Representative Dabney.
I'd like to move the A-152 amendment
as
amended.
Representative Dabney moves the A-152 amendment as amended. Questions, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevailed. Provisions adopted.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chair, I believe that's it at this time.
Madam Chair.
Representative Norton, I think, is trying
to get
something.
Sorry.
Thank you.
To get one done.
That's all right.
Oh, yeah, I really apologize. Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You know, Representative Norton, that's become a habit of my committee to be kind of blind to the right side.
Well, I'm a little there. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Representative Norton.
Thank you. As we've been going through this information, it reminds me of something I said several days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, but seems like several days ago, regarding Article 9 in the Economic Development section, the public bidding requirement that we have for the Bloomington's Port Authority, and that had to do with the garages that were attached and not having to go out for a competitive bid. And so I'm wondering if Mr. Michael could help me make a motion to allow that for the Destination Medical Center.
Mr. Michaels.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what the amendment would be is to, since the Destination Medical Center grants the City of Rochester the Port Authority powers, that you would add to the city powers a provision that's parallel or similar to Section 1 of Article 9 of the House bill that
Peterson
provides
a
public bidding exemption
for
the Bloomington Port Authority so that Rochester would have a comparable provision. So the motion would be to add Article 9, Section 1 for Rochester to
this
the Destination Medical Center article.
Sure. Okay. Representative Norton.
And I would like to move that, Mr. Chair, if the committee is willing, and let the staff do their work in between.
Representative, do you have – I didn't write the motion down.
Parking ramps
this helps.
I have a question.
Pardon me? Senator Dietzick. Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So would this just be for – because in the Bloomington article, it is under present law. So is this just for the – parking construction, or is this they're exempt from all competitive bidding requirements?
Both
Bloomington.
I should talk about it eventually, too.
Yeah. Representative Norton.
Mr. Chair, as I understand it, it is just the same as Article Section 1, which would just be the parking, as I understand it.
Mr.
But
Chair.
I might be wrong. Mr. Michaels
Mr.
might
Chair.
Help me.
Madam Chair.
You know, maybe I can shed a little bit of light on this, because I think the House conferees are maybe a little more aware of this, and especially as it relates to DMC. And I was kind of hoping some of the representatives of the building trades were in the room, but they're not, that I can see. So when I was working through the mall bill, my reaction when I heard this was exactly what Senator Dietzick, I think, is experiencing right now. I thought, oh, this is an anti-union provision that gets around bidding. We heard, I had a fear that, you remember there was sort of a kerfuffle about the Saints and kind of how they, and I said, I'm not doing that. Everybody involved said, you know, this is not it. And I think Mr. Michael can go through why it is not it. So what we get when we passed the mall provision, what we did is something that we did on the first phase of the mall, which said that if you're going to have a big planned development with parking ramps and a building over here and whatever, you can choose to work all with the same person or developer or whatever. So I worked with the building trades on that to make sure that that was something they wanted, and they did. So I had a concern that that was actually an anti-union move, and it was not. And I think Representative Anzels can probably speak to that, that was something that they really did want as part of getting the project to keep going. So when Representative Norton was hearing all this, I think she thought, hey, that might be okay for DMC. And I think that's what she's trying to do now and not intend it for anyone else. But if there needs to be more time and clarity to check with some folks, I think it's pretty positive all the way around.
Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Madam Chair, because that was my kind of initial reaction was heartburn. And so I appreciate that explanation, and thank you.
Well, I think we're fine with this. Representative Norton moves, and I didn't write the motion down, so somebody will have to repeat it. Mr. Michael.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the motion would be to add to the DMC provisions Article 9, Section 1 of the House bill applied to the City of Rochester's powers. So essentially they would be given for these public facilities that are attached to a private building that they can do this, use the same contractor as the private contractor.
Any questions, members? Representative Norton moves that motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair, I'm trying to keep a little list now because I don't see that much. I have the bus bonds fix. Did you have that, Representative Dabney? I don't know if there was language on that. And, I think you have other amendments. Not sure. And then I'll just tell you what I see on the list. Mm-hmm. Purpose statements, once we understand what
yes,
we did.
Purpose statements.
I'm continuing to try to work, and I've talked to the two chairs here about solutions to internal issues amongst cities on fairness questions. The St. Paul. Trying to work on something with that. And I don't know whatever people ever decided with the car sharing or not the Myra bill. And, maybe that one's gone. But the other thing was, I did just want to put on the record, one of the things that I think is disappointing, Mr. Chair, that you took off the table, that's yours. I was very persuaded about your ag homestead changes. I really hope that you will think about that and think about if you still want to do that today or wait till next year, because I thought the argument was quite compelling. And so I don't know how other conferees felt about that, but I was pretty convinced. So when you took it away, I didn't really understand what that was about, so I'm just putting it out there.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, because I did a fair amount of work on this session, but it's been kind of messed up now for about 25 years, and I kind of figured one more year probably wasn't the end of the world. And being the author of the Green Acres bill, I learned something from good policy does not always the best thing to do in just a short order. So I think the effective parties are going to have a little time to review this, and I fully intend that will be one of my bills next year.
Thank you.
Anything else, members?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, on page 11 of the side-by-side, House Article 3, Section 16, was an amendment on the House floor. I forget who authored it. It's a no-cost provision. It simply allows some communities in, I think, southeast Minnesota who had a disaster to receive all of their LGA in July of this year rather than in two payments.
Yeah.
Representative Hamilton.
Representative Hamilton.
You know, and Madam Chair, you know, didn't we do this yesterday for a city where we let them get their property tax something delayed? This is what I was thinking of when I was talking about that. So, yes, I'm aware. Yep, and now we're going to do it for something for this year only for what communities? Nobles County.
Okay.
This. What's the deal?
I'm just asking.
Madam Chair.
She's going to write you a note.
Okay.
Oh, this.
People might want to talk amongst themselves during this interlude.
Now my pen back.
I don't know. I just thought maybe we should ask on that
everybody
one.
Else.
No.
And Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, I have to say that, you know, I hate to, I personally, I think Representative Norton is right. We have some heartburn about what's going on over the, on the, at the House on the bonding bill. We're really, 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 really disappointed. And I will tell you that I think Representative Dabney's motion, and I know all the conferees will support it, is the right thing to do for Representative Hamilton's community. But it's just it's difficult sometimes to understand what folks are thinking. So I know that all the conferees want to support Representative Hamilton in caring for the problems in his community. So it's difficult sometimes, as you said earlier today, how people put things together.
We've already taken some of those votes on our side.
Yes, and but it's good for those people.
And the state has a long history of doing for communities for disasters, so we do that. Irrespective of their representation sometime. Representative Norton motion? Does staff have the motion?
Daphne motion.
Daphne motion, I'm sorry.
It's adopting that section and article.
Somebody needs to come up with the sections and the articles.
16.
Article 3, Section 16.
Representative Daphne moves House Article 3, Section 16.
Correct.
Any questions, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Recess mode, pretty good. Recess?
Do you have any other amendments?
I think we're pretty well wound down.
I go back to my list.
Senator Coonan has one for Clara City.
Do
you have something for Clara City? How come you don't have something for Clara City?
Do we fix
next
the bus
year,
bonds?
Maybe, for Clara City?
Do we fix the bus bond thing?
Let's
yet?
Fix the bus bonds.
Representative Dabney? Do we fix the bus bonds? There's something on that. I don't know if Representative Dabney was working or Mr. Michael.
Mr. Michael, can you help us with the bus bond, Mr. Michael?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, in order to, as we understand it, in the Transportation Conference Finance Conference Committee report, there is an identical authorization for the Met Council transit bonding. And in order to avoid the provision that's in the tax bill being cumulative so that they would get essentially double authorization, what the recommendation would be is to add into the effective date that it would not become effective if the other provision passes, has been enacted into law.
Senator Rest,
I would move that.
Senator Rest moves that there will be an addition to the effective date on the bus bond provision that if the transportation provision passes into law, that ours will not become effective. Is that correct, Mr.
And
Michaels?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Michael.
And will that happen, the reverse as well in the transportation bill?
Mr. Michael.
I think we want to make sure that one of them becomes effective. and but not both of them. And so I think if we just provide in our provision that it, if the other provision is effective, then it does not become effective. That would work.
That would cover.
And then they can leave their provision as is.
Ms. McQuay.
Mr. Chair, members, we've had conversations with fiscal staff for the transportation, and we'll carry the PTR interaction regardless of where it passes.
Right. Senator Resmus, the fix on the bus bonds effective date. Discussions, members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Well, Madam Chair, should we recess for maybe 3 hours, 2 hours? Give staff time to kind of work through the work we did this morning, get the leadership to resolve the outstanding issues. We're in recess. The call of the chair. Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner, now I'm blind to the left. I must have tunnel vision today, huh?
Mr. Chair, it could be true, but you two have a mission here, so I get that.
Commissioner Franz.
Yeah, I just want to make a quick clarification that on the, and it was really good to see Dr. Melcher come in about the location equity revenue, and the concerns that there was a mention about concerns, and those are the governor's office concerns, just to make sure we got it right. And some comment about Mr. Ouellette speaking about concerns. You know, we rely so much on our nonpartisan staff and how talented they are, and he is one of the most talented we have. I just want to make sure those concerns were coming from me and the governor's office. Mr. Ouellette was just here to clarify any issues. I just want to make sure that was true.
Thank you, Commissioner. I apologize if I went to the wrong person. I should have always gone to the head first. I get that.
Well, no, many times it's good to go to the head, I guarantee you. But thank you.
Anything else, members? We're in recess till 4 o'clock. Call the Tax Conference Committee to order. Members, we had a little longer break than we probably had anticipated, but looks like we're getting ready, and we have resolution on the last few issues. There's probably 8-10 amendments that we're going to adopt. And, Madam Chair, if it's okay, on my conservation easement language that we adopted, and I appreciated so much the House's consideration, Dakota County has come to me, and they have a voter-approved referendum where they are buying native prairie in Dakota County, and I would like to include them in the exemptions. I think that if the voters approve to tax themselves to do this, that's a broad enough support that if there's some property reduction there, I'm supportive of it. And as with all of this stuff, I expect once I start doing exemptions, I will continue doing that. But this is the only one that I see so far for this year. So if you guys are okay giving Dakota County the ability to, with their voter-approved property taxes, to have conservation easements on native prairie in Dakota County, I'd ask for your support for the A117 amendment. And is that passed out, staff? And then do the A, pass out the A180 after that, please. Okay. Any questions, members?
What's that?
Yeah. We're good.
Gina will make them for you.
Okay. A117, Dakota County, so they can have their native prairie. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. This provision is adopted. And, Madam Chair, we have been working on some education language, Representative Benson and I, and I have the A180 amendment, which is the referendum that was in the Senate tax bill. We've had pretty good discussion about that, so unless the members have question, it is the $300 of voter approved as tier zero. The next $425 is tier one, and to the cap is tier two. I reduced the cap by $300 and increased the equalization.
Questions, members? The A180. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Madam Chair, we've had some discussion in this room and around about the effectiveness of the stabilizer that is included in the provisions.
Mr. Chair?
You okay? Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, I do want to say I thought actually one of the best components of the reformed LGA factor was the stabilizer.
Yeah.
When similar language was in place in state law in the early 90s, what it served to do was, while others might construe it as an inflator, what it actually served to do was be a cap. And for plus or minus a decade, it took local government aid fights off the table. And I thought when I was working with staff and advocates and legislators from around the state to develop this formula, we thought that taking LGA as a point of contention between the suburbs and the central cities and the rural parts of the state off the table for maybe a decade was a good thing to do. And so I know that you have objected to any sort of inflator everywhere throughout your bill, and I've read it and recognize that, but I want to say that I'm deeply disappointed to see this part go away.
And, you know, Representative Dabney, I'm sympathetic to that, but we are concerned about making sure that our tails are balanced, and I do have concern about inflators. The Senate paid particular attention to removing automatic adjustments to a number of provisions, including my referendum language that I just adopted. That originally had an automatic adjustment to it so it would keep up with the inflation of land values. We took that out, and so I don't see any number on what I'm moving here, but it says adopt the following limits on LGA appropriations for the following year as follows. A's payable 2014 fiscal year 15, $507,598,12. A's payable 2015 fiscal year 16, $509,098,012. A's payable 2016 fiscal year 17, $511,598,012, and thereafter. Staff clear? Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion prevails. Provisions adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Who am I talking
Cap.
To? Mr. O'Rourke.
I believe, Ms. McQuay, on the A180 that we adopted for schools, I believe we were supposed to adopt some blanks in the numbers to let staff back into those.
Madam Chair, should we revisit the A180? I would move that we reconsider the A180 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. A180 is in front of us. Ms. McQuay, we need to adopt some language with regard to the equalizing factors because the education staff has been so busy doing the education finance budget bill that they have not had time to calculate what exactly those equalizing factors are going to be. So we will direct staff to correct those numbers. Everybody okay with that?
Without undoing anything in the K-12.
Representative Benson.
Mr. Chair, this may be a little too specific, but direct staff to fill in appropriate blanks to do anything in addition to the K-12 commerce report, without undoing anything in their report.
That sounds very
close
good.
To.
Sounds very good, Representative Benson. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The A-180 amendment, as amended, is adopted. Levy limits.
Levy limits.
Madam Chair, the Senate is going to propose the A-120 amendment. Is that passed out?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Right, so it's 40%.
We'll just ask the staff behind you.
Do you want to do that next?
Well, whenever you want to do it.
We'll do it next, after this 120.
Yeah, he's very cool. It's very cool.
So, members, what the A-120 does is it puts a 3% levy plus aid limit with a certified net tax capacity of either 2011 or 12. They will pick the higher of those 2 years.
Thank you.
And there are three reasons that levy limits could go above that number. One would be for debt. The other would be for referendum or for natural disaster. Discussion, Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Not a fan of this, and I understand that we all have to compromise to get this bill closed, and our fearless leaders. In fact, one of our favorite fearless leaders is behind you.
Well, Madam Chair, you notice I'm not turning around.
And it's a joy to see him in here. It's just, it's different without him sitting right here. So it's wonderful to see Senator Bach. Not a big fan of the proposal, and I think the House members are not, but I understand where we're at, and I will be supporting it, but this is quite difficult for some of the folks in the House.
Well, and Madam Chair, with the additional aids that cities are going to be receiving and the relief that we're giving them with regard to sales taxes, I think a one-year, you know, pretty real levy limit is a good thing to do. 1 year. Any other discussion, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The A-120 is adopted. Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I've already handed out. I'd like to move A-179, and maybe staff can go through. There have been. We think we've got the numbers correct now.
Mr. Hines.
Mr. Hines.
Mr. Chair, A-179 amends the House location equity index provisions to accomplished sort of part B of the merging of the K-12 bills provisions and the provision from the Senate side and the House provision. And so a few of the numbers change a little bit because of some changes made in the K-12, and this just makes them all work together.
Ms. McQuay, do you have anything to add with regard to the amendment? And I don't actually have a copy of it. I don't think it matters so terribly much.
Different amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, I would just note that there was a couple of pieces of the location equity proposal picked up in your amendment, the A-180, because they were incorporated into that that section of law, and so there wouldn't have to be duplicate sections. Your amendment picked up those sections.
Okay, and thank you, Ms. McQuay. And members, I just wanted on the tape what my understanding of this amendment is. And my understanding of this amendment is that for cities, and I'm not going to might get the numbers exactly right, but for cities with more than, or school districts with more than 2,000 students, they will now have a $400 school board approved by resolution referendum. It will be equalized at the current rate with adjustments made for the differences in the way they count pupils. So it used to be 476, and now it's some number higher than that, 510.
Right.
And then the cap will be reduced by an equal amount. for $400 for those size school districts. Then in the intermediate size school districts, and I don't have the numbers for that, but those will, those school districts will receive $200 of school board approved by resolution levy. And that will be equalized at the same amount, $510 per student off of their market value.
Right.
And their cap will also be reduced by $200. And this is a separate levy from the levy that we just adopted that the Senate brought to the table. But the two will operate, and the school districts can choose between those two plans.
Right.
Mr. Hines, Ms. McQuay, is that accurate?
Correct.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, just the language of the A-152 location equity says that the districts located in the seven county metropolitan area, their location equity revenue will equal 424, slightly higher than the 400 because of the change in the pupil units, I believe, committee or the K-12 adopted. And then for all other districts with more than 2,000 pupils, the number is 212. And I believe...
And Ms. McQuay, that's consistent if you take into account the pupil unit change.
Correct.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Benson.
Mr. Chair, just for information, this LEI affects exactly 100 school districts, 39 of them rural, 2,061 metro and population center. And those cities that will actually get some money from that small amount that we have are all greater Minnesota cities. There are nine of those.
And staff, so we are working off of the A-179 amendment. Is that to the House file that we are working off of, or is that to an amendment that we are then going to adopt?
Mr. Chair.
House file 677? Is this, so I don't need to.
It's to an amendment that you've already adopted.
Already adopted.
Yes.
Very good. Any more discussion, members? Everybody clear? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The A-179 is adopted. Members, the Senate in its 130 spend had $3 million dedicated to a legislative office facility. It's the A-84 amendment. Can we pass the A-84 amendment out? And while that's being passed out, Madam Chair, as I've been reviewing this amendment, I think that we need to make an oral amendment on line 134, page 1, line 34, strike 4 and insert 3. And on page 1, line 35, strike 1 and insert 3. And that will have equal representation on this selection committee between the House and the Senate. And members, and this is Senator Rest's work. She has been working tirelessly on a number of areas, but she's a member of the CAP board and does work tirelessly on working on capital reconstruction and other areas of buildings and improvement around the Capitol grounds. And this is near and dear to her, and she's not here tonight, but we're wishing her well. Any questions, members?
You mentioned Alice. Got consulted.
Oh, and yes, Madam Chair. And we have talked to Representative Hausman, and she has reviewed this language. And in the conversations with Representative Hausman, the oral amendment that I am going to move is what was the result of that conversation. Discussion? So we're going to move the oral amendment, three representatives from the House and the Senate. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Oral amendments adopted. We are now on the A-84 as amended. Questions?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Senjum.
And I'll just be brief. I joined Senator Rest in support of this. I think, you know, the longer we're here, I think the more that, at least I understand the reason, or at least the value of House and Senate people being a little closer together, getting to know each other, working directly with each other, socializing with each other. I think this building will, over the long term, do a lot to bring our legislative colleagues together and make them more efficient and more effective and, frankly, more friendly.
I think you're right, Senator Sengen. Anything else, members?
Very well said.
Seeing no more questions, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The 84, as amended, is adopted. I have a couple more, and then we're starting to wind down. The 330-6 amendment. Staff, set out. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chris. Members, we need to adopt subdivision 3, contingency of capital renovation appropriation. And this is some money that is going to have to be appropriated to just to cover the cost of moving things around in the Capitol as we do the renovation of our beautiful Capitol that we all are working in this evening. So any questions, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The 330-6 is adopted. Integration levy.
I don't know.
The A118. So that passed out.
Subdivision.
I think we have it.
Thank you.
Of course.
Members, this is the integration levy. This was this aid and levy or levy
Thank
was
you,
a, scheduled to be eliminated. It's an important funding mechanism for our school districts that are struggling to integrate students and their population. The aid for this program is being carried in the K-12 bill. Because they did not have a levy target, we have to carry the levy component in the tax bill. Okay. Any questions, members?
Are you okay with this?
Mr. Representative Dabney, do you want to move this?
I would be glad to. I'd like to move the A118 amendment to be before the conference committee, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for providing this language to the committee. This follows through on the leadership's agreement.
He's afraid he's got the wrong one. Is that the wrong one?
I did the wrong one. Yes.
Oh, okay.
On the last one. Okay, so we're rolling on the A118, though, which follows through on the state's commitment to a diverse student body and a diverse workforce for the 21st century. So thank you for that.
Any questions, members, comments? I think this is important. Representative Norton.
I'm looking at the integration aid and levy. I see specifically Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Duluth. Rochester being a city of the first class now, I wondered if
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dow.
Well, even better if staff answers it.
Okay. Ms.
McQuay.
Mr. Chair and members, the operative language that the tax committee is changing here is online. Page 1, line 24, and we are inserting 70. The Education Committee carried this as the percent to be added in the tax bill or language like that. And so this would be the percentage that we are adding to carry the levy portion. The reason there is Minneapolis, Duluth, and St. Paul is because that is how the levy was before it was repealed. And no, my understanding is that the K-12 bill made no changes to that portion of it.
And Representative Norton, my recollection of this, and I'm not real familiar with it, but this is spread broader than just these three school districts.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Chair, I served on K-12, and I've dealt with this issue as a school board member for many years, and I guess I'm just surprised to see it, but it's not under the purview of this committee, so I will leave it for another year.
Well, you know, Representative Norton, I think I can tell you the answer to that, and I think part of the reason that those three school districts are spelled out that way, I think they had some levy that they received
forward a year early, and the rest of the school districts kept on the normal schedule. I believe that's right.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, you are not surprisingly correct, and my understanding is, absent the language that Representative Norton has pointed to, those three districts would lose a year of levy while the rest of the state continued on their normal pattern.
Yes.
So the language here simply allows the current pattern and full funding of this program for all school districts in the state that qualify for the program.
Thank you. Anything else, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The A118 is adopted. Madam Chair, I moved the wrong subdivision on my 330-6. So I would move we reconsider the motion by which the 330-6 amendment was adopted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. The 330-6 is in front of us. Now I need to move subdivision 4, relocation expenses.
Yes.
Is that better?
Yep.
Yes. Good.
Should I slow down?
No, we want to make sure you get moved how you need to get moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 330-6 is adopted.
I think there's a
Madam
few
Chair.
I know Representative Dabney has, I think, one or two. And can I just...
Madam Chair.
I sent you that note. I had a little cheat sheet. We can't forget. May we just... It's under there. Direct the staff on those purpose statements.
Oh, we
just let them write them.
Statements.
Can we just let them write them?
Yep.
That's it. That little cheat sheet there. That's what I had. So we need that, and then we're not doing the political contribution refund item that was on the 130. We fixed the state admin office. Representative Dabney's got the last thing. But can I make a motion to direct that the House and Senate staff will work together to write the purpose statements for the tax expenditures in the bill we're passing?
Madam Chair, Lencheski moves that staff be directed to write the purpose statement. Questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the ASH-Bloom-3 amendment to be before the committee.
Who wrote that one?
Representative Dabney.
It's my favorite. It's ASH-Bloom-3. It will live on, I fear, Madam Chair. This does two things. It forgives the remainder of the fiscal disparities repayment for the Mall of America without taking additional funds out of the pool. That's in assistance to the good people of Bloomington who provided us with that wonderful facility many years ago. And provides some state assistance in the tails for the city of Minneapolis to defray the bonds from the beautiful downtown Central Library.
Yes.
That's the one we talked about, the St. Paul.
Questions, members? I support. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevailed. Amendments adopted.
I have nothing. Is that anything?
So what's the motion?
Thank you. I'm happy as a lamb.
I think there's... I have nothing. I don't know if they do. These two, three of us have nothing.
Big deal. Let's go to staff and get the section on the...
Anything else we're missing? You know,
we have the rental tax. And I have a capital equipment exemption date change.
Capital equipment
yes.
I'll go see if I think we have that. I can tell you what you need to adopt.
Just move it off of the...
Sure. She can just verbally tell you if you need a motion.
Members, Ms. Dalton, we need a motion. I think it's Senate Article 7, Section 19.
That would be correct.
I'll move Senate Article 7, Section 19.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. McQuay.
Ms. Pollack.
It's Ms. Pollack. I'm sorry. The capital equipment provision that the committee adopted before is the House language. It's the House Article 8.
It's okay, I'll do it later.
Just a moment, please.
Ms. Pollack, we'll finish this motion and then we'll come
okay.
to that one.
might want to say what it is because I don't know that anybody knows.
Madam Chair, this is the rental car tax. It was in the governor's budget proposal, the House bill, and the Senate bill. And we wisely laid this aside in case they needed to have some bottom money, and the tax bill's closing up, leaving some money on the bottom line. Any questions, members? Senate Article 7, Section 19. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Provisions adopted. Ms. Pollack, on the capital equipment effective date.
Mr. Chair, the motion would be on House Article 1, Section 7, with the effective date of September 1, 2014.
I will move House Article 1, Section 7, effective date September 1st, 2014. This is a date change for the capital equipment exemption. Moves it back another month or two. I don't remember which. Any questions, members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendment provisions adopted.
It's a rental tax.
No, it wasn't.
I'm done.
You run a mean gavel.
Get done. Staff, do you have anything that we should be contemplating? Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, before you kind of wrap up, it would be very good if you would direct staff to make any technical changes of a minor nature that we find as we are putting the bills together.
Do we need to move then?
I think we should.
Mr. Chair,
or direct us.
Mr. Chair,
I might trust them. Michelle.
May I add to harmonize the spreadsheet with the language as intended by the motions of the committee?
Do we want to harmonize?
I suppose we should. Yeah, I think you're right. Let me look through it.
When it's done tomorrow.
It's done tomorrow. And so, Madam Chair and members, we will move to direct House and Senate staff to make technical changes as needed. Discussions, members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevail. Provisions adopted. And, Madam Chair, we will move for staff to harmonize the spreadsheets. And, Madam Chair, you and I will review and initial the spreadsheets tomorrow.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. McQuay.
Ms. Von Mosch.
Ms. Von Mosch.
Was the committee going to make any recommendations on the fiscal note costs for the department?
Oh, right. We are.
How could we forget that?
Well, you know, it's my tunnel vision,
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Frantz.
You know, I.
What is this?
I grew up in a big family.
Oh, here, there's an amendment.
And, I was the fifth of six kids. And so when you had Thanksgiving dinner, sometimes there were too many people for the dinner, and there'd be the kids' table, you know. And now, not disrespecting my fellow members of the I felt like I was kind of at the kids' table over here a little bit.
I'm not going to comment, Commissioner. So we've done the spreadsheet. Now we are on to the admin amendment. And in order to help the department do the work that we have been asking them to do and are going to be doing the next year so well, and such a pleasure to work with you, Commissioner, and all of the staff, Madam Chair, would you like to move the admin amendment?
I would love to. Before us, just simply the admin. That's all it says, amendment.
Mm-hmm. Any questions, members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Admin is adopted. Commissioner Franz, do you see anything before the conference committee that we should be contemplating before we start to wrap this up?
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, I'm at the kids' table. I didn't hear that question.
Oh, I'll say it louder. Commissioner Franz, anything that you think that the conference committee should contemplate before we start to wrap this up?
Mr. Chair and Madam Chair, first of all, committee did. And the chair, I think it's one of our, just wanted to make sure we had a chance to review this with the staff and make sure we have all the numbers right. And the opportunity to do that before we who's standing behind me?
I would look forward if I were you.
All these people on the wall.
We could.
Thanks to staff.
Well, we have, yeah. And before Senator Bach leaves, he's trying to sneak out. I hear the speakers walking in. He's right there. So I think they should be in the room, Mr. Chair.
Miss Dalton. Ms. Dalton.
I know this isn't something staff normally asks, but could we have a recess for 2 minutes to just consult with you and Representative Lencheski on just a minor matter before we bring it up?
Sure. Representative Lencheski, or Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair, before we recess for a minute, I know we want to thank everybody when we come back, but I do want to say those two jokers right over there, we all really, I think the 10 conferees owe them a huge amount of gratitude. The leadership this session, along with the governor, has been amazing. We are here where we are because of them. And
we're having fun. We don't want to end this, do we?
And genuinely. And please, Commissioner, tell the governor. Really, it's been. We just had a few little bumps, but we're really appreciative. Really, I think we all are.
2 minute recess. Could everybody just stay at the table while Ann and I check with Ms. Dalton? I think we have everything resolved. Staff, everything good to go? Pointing at somebody?
Oh, just want to make a comment.
It's a matter of opinion.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't know if other conferees do as well, but just in closing, I do want to say very personally to the House staff, and that includes our DFL staff and our nonpartisan staff and the Senate staff, both partisan and non, and everyone in the department. I mean, they're just amazing, and I think we owe them all a round of applause. And Senator Sko, I know you feel that same way, and I just... probably others want to add, but I cannot tell you how wonderful it's been to be with such a transparent, productive set of conferees. I know some people have had their hopes dashed, and I respect that, and people in this room and legislators and communities. And I know it's difficult, and other great things have really happened. It was wonderful to watch Representative Norton and Senator Senjum have that great moment, and I don't think any of us are going to forget that. So there's a lot of great things that have happened in this room, and I do want to thank the Speaker for allowing me to be the tax chair this year, and the Majority Leader Bach and the Governor and all for really a great process. We were remarking today how much of this has been so open and have not seen that before. So I feel like I've got a lot closer to these conferees. And to you, Mr. Chair, I really appreciate your integrity. It's meant so much to me, more than you know. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Anybody else? Representative Norton? It's really something to do something for a community like that, isn't it? Senator Senjum? Quite a deal, isn't it?
Well, and I'll be brief. Obviously, I'm the lone Republican. Watched and listened quite a bit during the process here. But I tell you what, I do respect your work, and we got a lot of things accomplished here, and most particularly for me and for Representative North. But I would say for the entire state, our project. Going forward is going to make Minnesota better. And a lot of the work here that you have done, Senator Rist was kind enough, frankly, to put my local government sales tax exemption into the bill. And so I'll kind of remember that. It's something I've thought about ever since I was on the city council. Why do we do this? And lo and behold, my little bill was the one that kind of made it through. So it's kind of interesting how life works. Thank you so much.
Representative Norton.
I will just take a brief moment and thank everyone for their support of the Destination Medical Center project. The fact that this literally was written in January and is passed at this time is truly amazing. And part of it was because of really some pushing by the folks in this room, and I'm sure the chairs as well. And I truly do appreciate that. And I also want to thank you all for your indulgence. I've never served on the tax committee. And in fact, anyone that knows me knows I'm a policy wonk and not a finance person at all. And this year I ended up on all finance committees, but I never have served on taxes. So it was a real honor for me to be able to be part of this process. And so if my questions were a little naive, I appreciate your tolerance. I've learned a great deal from all of you. And frankly, as Representative Lincheski said, my experience with the tax staff in the House has been marvelous. They are beyond excellent. So this has just been a wonderful process, and I just want to thank you all for letting me be a part of it.
Representative Benson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank both you. It's great to have met you. We didn't know each other, and this is my first time on the Tax Conference Committee and the first time on the Tax Committee, and it was my number one request to serve on the Tax Committee, and you probably understand why. It's because of our chair here, Ann Lincheski, who I hold in such high regard. I just want to, this is my, starting my seventh year in the legislature, and this is a kind of a piggyback on what Chair Lincheski was talking about as far as the staff. When I do town halls, I always make sure that I tell the people in the audience that they ought to be real proud of their state government, and especially of the people who work for us here in the legislature and throughout the entire administration of this state. We have, I think, the finest group of public servants of any state in the union. And when anybody comes around and says, well, this and that about, I tell them, you come on over here and sit down with me and get to know what these people are doing, and you're going to change your attitude. So I don't put up with that. I'm a school teacher. I don't put up with that kind of talk. So I just want to also add my thank you to all the staff here. We're the ones that supposedly come up with the ideas, and some of them are kind of crazy, Mr. Chair. And somehow these staff people make sense out of it. I don't know how they do it. It's some kind of alchemy. But I'm just very appreciative. So thank you for my opportunity to serve on this committee.
Thank you, Representative Benson. And thank you, staff. The more I'm around you, the more I appreciate you. Just astounding the work you guys do. And so been a pleasure to serve with all of you. Pleasure, privilege. Okay, guys, I move.
Enough of the chat.
No.
I move we adopt the conference committee report as with provisions as adopted by the conference committee. Is that a proper motion, Mr. Michaels? Will it get the
Mr.
job
Chair,
done?
That sounds good to me.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Conference committee report is adopted. Thank you all very much. Committee's adjourned.
Thank you.
Nice job.